Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design conference call for the 13th day of October, year 2019. I am Commander Dan, your host and chairman for this meeting of the House of Jacob Israel. The agenda for today's call is an open forum, so we have a list of various things to discuss. So at any time, if somebody wishes to join in on the conversation or add to what we're talking about, please feel free to join. For those folks on computers, you have a button that should say Ask Question. And for folks on their phones, it would be star 6. And that doesn't automatically mean you're going to be live. You'll be muted, of course, until I unmute you. Randy, you're showing that you have something to say already. Let me go ahead and see if we can. Okay, Randy, can you hear me?
Yeah, praise Yahweh. Good morning.
Good morning, sir. Did you have something real quick, or was that a faux pas?
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to have an open forum, I mean, let's kick it off and get right into it, man.
Let me finish the intro because I didn't dedicate it yet. All right, Randy. Just hang tight, buddy.
I'm ready to tear into these politicians, man.
All right. Okay, before we get into that, we dedicate this call to our Heavenly Father Yahweh, who is the great I Am. And we also dedicate it to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen, who should be still awake over there, Shumai, and welcome to the program, Cumru Ambith. We are in the question and answer mode, which we just discussed. The website for scheduled programs, lots of information, archives, health information, firearm information, etc. is at PastorDan.net. And Pastor Dan is altogether no spaces or any kind of special characters, just plain old PastorDan.net. I got a couple real quick ones here to read. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says Yahweh, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you hope and a future. And we have to remember that. That's Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. And Mike Adams had put something out through Natural News that the time has come for President Trump to invoke the Insurrection Act and put down the lawless left, meaning Bolshevik, insurrection against America. So, and we got some other things here on the list, but we'll get back to Randy since he's called in. Randy, continue, buddy.
Yeah, I am feeling a little bit under the weather, but Yahweh willing, I'm here. I tell you, folks, the enemy is truly showing its colors. I mean, they're not really hiding. They haven't really been hiding this stuff for a while. It's just becoming more obvious to us. But this person that calls himself Beto, who's the one of the Democrats running for president, I mean, if people didn't think it was bad enough that he straight up said that he wanted to take away our guns, now, see, well, let me get to this. Some people said, well, we got to let the gays get married. They didn't realize that it goes further than that. They're not going to stop just because you allow them to get married, folks. Look what they did with the Christian bakery owners. They targeted Christian bakery owners because they wouldn't go along with it. They wouldn't bake the cake. They went after them, folks. There's been at least several cases that I'm aware of across the country. This is going back over, what, 3, 4, maybe 5 years ago. They went after them. They didn't stop there, did they, brothers and sisters? This person that calls himself Beto, who's on video talking about wanting to confiscate our weapons, now he's saying that if the churches don't go along with the whole gay marriage, they should be stripped of the 501c3. Now, while we might argue that the 501c3 is not really a great idea to begin with, this goes to show you, folks, that they want us to participate, directly or indirectly, in their satanic worship. They're forcing us, just like they do with abortion through taxation, You can say all day long that you don't agree with abortion, but they force you to participate in it through taxation. And now they went after the Christian bakery owners, and some people said, this isn't affecting me. Ah, but now they're coming for your churches. They're coming.
Yeah, and notice they're picking a fight with the 501c3, which, you know, we've talked about that, Randy, how many times that the
yes.
Bolsheviks typically will go after the very people that helped them come to power. And so it shouldn't surprise anybody that the 501c3 churches have been in bed with the communists for decades. So it's only fitting that they do go after them. But I would also like to point out that those of us that have stayed completely 100% unfunded and completely independent, they can't say boo to us, okay, because we don't have any agreements with them. So, again, it's the father, I think, looking out for his children that stay faithful, never fell into that trap of signing up for 501c3 just so they could. The perception, anyway, was that it would allow them to say donations and all are tax-free, but, you know, if they'd have used their brains, they would have realized that the church has always been tax-exempt. There's even Coach Dabomir, Dave Dabomir, who has a YouTube channel and a ministry, recently was talking about that to his audience. He said, he looked in the camera and he goes, "You call in and explain to me why you think the government has any right to know anything at all about the business of the church. Who donates, who doesn't, how much they donate, what we spend the money on at the church. That's none of their business." So this idea is catching on, Randy. Huh?
Right. For years, these liberals who are now trying to force this down the churches, right, these are what's interesting about all of this. This is coming from the left-wing communists that tell us that we need to be tolerant, but here, once again, they're forcing us to do a certain thing that they want. These are also the same people who, for years, their argument was, well, the government can't get involved because there's a separation of church and state. Isn't it ironic that those people that would make that argument are now, in fact, using the government or going to use the government to force their religion onto us? That's exactly what they're doing. Isn't all of this very ironic?
Oh, absolutely. And let me point out something I wanted to talk about here, but it segues right into what you're talking about, Randy. And I found this last night, and this is a guy who was a staunch leftist Bolshevik. I believe he was a professor. I don't have it in front of me, but his name is Michael Rechtenwald. But very middle-aged guy, probably in his, I would say, 50s. But he was deep in academia, and he was deep in the leftist Bolshevik rhetoric, and he had an epiphany when the left turned on him because he mentioned something just remotely conservative, okay? Not as hardcore as we would talk about, obviously, but something relatively mild, and they completely turned on him, and that opened his eyes because he started to question, wait a minute, these liberal progressives are always talking tolerance and all this. However, if you go against what they perceive to be the worldview, then they come after you. And he wrote a book, and I've got it on order. It's called Instead of Gulag Archipelago by Alexander Solzhenitsyn. It's his expose of the Bolsheviks. So he titled it Google Archipelago: The Digital Gulag and the Simulation of Freedom. And let me just read this little bit of a write-up on the book. And again, this fits in with what you're saying. People on the left, many of them are starting to wake up, such as this, I think he was a professor. Because I've read other books exploring the dangers of big digital or big tech, but most of them focus on the fear of exploitation rather than on a newly developing pillar of state power. Is it surprising that today's intellectuals fail to see the danger of a merger of big digital and big government? They encourage it. It's part of their core ideology. Google Archipelago dives deep into a complex issue, an issue we will all feel the effects of as we inch closer to our digital authoritarianism future. when combined with an ever-expanding disregard for our Constitution, norms, systems of governance, parentheses, abolish the Electoral College, pack the Supreme Courts, impeach everyone you disagree with, etc., we truly have a disaster waiting to happen. Dive into this book and you will see what kind of nightmare we have to look forward to. It's not a book about fear-mongering, but it does illustrate the problems we face here and now, as well as what we may be to come. So one of their own now is coming out, and he gave a great interview on this conservative talk show that I saw the video of, but he's written a whole book here, Google Archipelago, to explain how exactly what we said here, Randy, the truths of Yahweh's wisdom are coming through all the time. We've said for years that people supporting these Bolsheviks don't realize that they're just useless eaters to these people. And when they feel that they've reached the zenith and almost a complete takeover, they'll throw them under the bus. They'll reveal their true face, which is quite ugly. And that's what I see this book exemplifying. What do you think?
I totally agree. I've not heard of that book. It's very interesting. These liberal left-wingers, I believe that would be what the Bible would call ravenous, like, wolves. They're like hyenas. And yes, they will turn on their own, like the pack of wolves that they are. They will eat each other. But you know, it's the very idea of what they're, see, again, let me just reiterate this. For years, their whole argument to fight against us was that, well, there's a separation of church and state. But again, they're basically creating is a state religion, and all of it is in contradiction to our Bible. Abortion, gay marriage, interracial mixing, all these things that they represent, they've been fighting for years. These are all contrary to Yahweh's law. In a sense, they have created a state religion which our founding fathers fought against. And now we're going right back down that same road.
Yeah.
I tell you. Well, the enemy is so out in front. You know, for years, you really had to dig deep to find this kind of stuff. And they're right there on a presidential platform just saying it to the masses. And so, like, when you listen to this Beto guy talk about these things, if that's not disturbing enough, what's even more disturbing is the amount of people that applauded him. That is disturbing.
Well, they've divided the country, Randy. I think most talk shows, especially those on the right, if we want to call it that, which is the side of righteousness, you know, everybody's talking about the fact this is in-your-face Bolshevism. This is an in-your-face insurrection by these criminals. And don't get me wrong, there's people with Republican after their name that are just guilty of treason and supporting it. Okay, so this is not a partisan thing, okay, because I don't believe in either party. I think we should outlaw parties, to be honest with you. In fact, we should outlaw political action committees and lobbyists as well.
Well, you know, the thing with Trump that really bothers me is when they were talking about the issue of firearms, he said, well, we'll just take away the guns, and then you go to the courts. Well, no. See, this isn't Democrat versus Republican, man. We'll criticize all of them, because they're all guilty of this, brother. We know that. We're not going to give anybody a free pass just because they might be in some political party. But here, I want to give you some information about what's going on in Michigan, because this goes right in along with these intolerant left-wing communists. I don't know a lot about this lady, but she goes by the name of Counterculture Mom. Some people might know about her. But she recently came to Michigan to talk to some of the schools, which they seem to have kind of an open-door policy to outside speakers. Well, a high school in Harrison, Michigan, actually, like, basically at the last minute, canceled it. And what's interesting about this is they don't really give her a reason, other than maybe there was a few vocal complaints about her. But see, but if you go through their policies, they actually have anti-discrimination policies. But yet, they didn't mind discriminating against her and saying, well, you can't come to our school and speak.
Wow.
See, there we go. Another example of how really intolerant. Just because a few people complain, somehow she can't come to the school. And I look at it like this. Is if they're going to allow people from outside of the school to come in to speak. I mean, we can all say how dangerous that could be if it come to, like, homosexual groups. I mean, none of us want those kinds of people coming and speaking to our kids. But it's like, if you're going to allow some people to come into the schools, they really can't discriminate. They're going to end up with a big lawsuit on their hands. Of course, the taxpayers will end up being, you know, having to pay for that. But I think what they should have done is basically just said, hey, here on social media, here's who's coming to the school, and let the parents decide if they want their children to participate maybe in that guest speaker or not. Let the choice be up with the parents, but instead the school, who's got an anti-discrimination policy, basically told this counterculture mom, you're not welcome, because they didn't like what you had to say.
Right.
But see, well, they're so tolerant, right?
Exactly. But here's the beautiful thing, though.
Another example.
This is perfect with the old saying: when your enemy's making a mistake, don't interfere. Okay. How many years, Randy, have we been on the radio from the rooftops in the wilderness screaming that these universities are nothing but breeding grounds for Bolshevism? How many years, Randy?
I don't know, man. I've been at this probably almost 20 years now, I guess. I'm 41 now.
Exactly. It's we've been on the air. We're coming up on our 20th anniversary. You're right. So two decades, we've been screaming from the wilderness, wake the hell up. The public school system in general is intolerable. I can't believe anybody has a child in the public school system. It's atrocious. But the universities have been atrocious for a very long time. I still remember, this was a decade ago, when a friend of mine, I grew up just south of Penn State campus in Pennsylvania. And one of my school buddies from grade school had moved to Penn State to open up a business. I ran into him, and he was telling me about one of the campus Oktoberfests, I think it was, some sort of a festival, and they have these tents all over the campus. And the school supports this, by the way. And he said, Dan, you wouldn't believe what goes on there. And I said, well, wait a minute, what are you talking about? He said, they have tents set up where you pay like $3 and you get to go in, and anything goes inside that tent. Basically, whatever you want to do, anything goes, whether it's smoking dope, having sex, talking about bullshit, it doesn't matter. You pay $3 and you're allowed to go in this tent and do anything you want to do. And I said, that's when I said to him, I go, wait a minute, we're talking about Penn State here. I grew up in the shadow of Penn State. It was like you're destroying an icon here. He said, Dan, he goes, you would not believe the immorality at Penn State campus now. He goes, the days that you're thinking of go back 40 years, 50 years. He goes, that's long over. Penn State is a breeding ground of modernism, hedonism, etc. And, it just shocked me to my core, but it's a perfect example of what you're talking about, Randy.
You know, we're not going to let this, because, what happened at the school in Michigan is basically like right in my backyard. So I'm all over the case, brothers and sisters. I don't know much about this counterculture mob, but I did file two Freedom of Information Act requests. One was towards the end of September. I already got a response back on that. I recently filed another one, and I've requested a full copy of everybody that they've allowed to speak at that school for 2018, 2019. So we're gonna get a full list of everybody that they've allowed, and I already know what we're gonna see. We're gonna see straight up bias. Okay, they singled this woman out to tell her she can't come to speak, but it's gonna be interesting to find out who they have allowed, and that Freedom of Information Act request has been sent to the school. They'll have 30 days to respond.
Yeah,
this is in my backyard, and I'm gonna fight them. And it's not so much about what this woman was coming to speak. It has nothing to do with what she was going to say. It's the mere fact that they do let the public come from the outside into the school to speak, which, in my opinion, they had no right to deny her. And they did, and we're going to get to the bottom of this. We can't play nice with these people, brothers and sisters. We got to get down dirty with them. I've been doing it for years, and I just hope that more people will get involved. We got to fight dirty with these people, man. Get down on their level of playing. Get down dirty with them. We can't let them off the hook.
Amen, brother. You remind me of a very good friend of mine I've known for decades. Uh, he's he was a traditional Southern Baptist. Now he's identity, but he asked me a long time ago, Randy, when are we going to take our gloves off? And for people that know anything about boxing, know what that means. It means get down and get dirty. Take off the soft pillows called boxing gloves and get bare-fisted, knuckle to knuckle in a fight.
That's what I've been wanting to know. You know, years ago, when I first ran, you know, during the days of Ron Paul, when I first ran as a precinct delegate, and they booted me out because they didn't like organizations I was affiliated with at that time. And, you know, this is going back many years ago. And I went down there to their next meeting with the video camera, filmed the whole thing, got it on video, basically me confronting them, calling them traitors, communists, all these things. Didn't get physical, just got loud, you know, loud in the voice of my opinion. Of course, you know, they come after me with the legal system because of that. But, you know, people back then years ago would say, oh, well, Randy, that's not the right approach. Well, I ask you, brothers and sisters, if we don't get confrontational with these people, what is the method? Please tell me why these people are destroying our country. Are we supposed to just lay down and take it?
No.
I'm sick and tired of what these people have done to our country, and I didn't go down there and hurt any of those people. Okay, they sick the legal system after me. And look, folks, they do it to me, they'll do it to other people, but we can't just lay down and take it why they destroy our country, talk about confiscating our weapons, going after the churches, chopping up little babies. Enough is enough with these people. I've had it with these people.
Well, amen, buddy. You've got the warrior spirit. You've got the right idea, and it's catching on. If you listen to people like Coach Dave Dabamir and Mike, with Natural Health, Mike Adams. That's it, Mike Adams.
Absolutely.
You know, Greg Hunter and many, many of these other people that have been pretty quiet and pretty laid back, they are now admitting that this is a full-on assault against us, and not only is it okay for us to fight back, it's actually a duty. Let me ask you a question, Randy, and since we like to tie everything in with Scripture, let me ask you, if we were 2,000-plus years ago, and we were standing near the temple that the money changers were in, what do you picture the Christ as he was forming that whip and was getting ready to walk in there? Do you think he was going to go in there and ask them kindly to leave the temple? Or do you think he went in there and shoved them the hell out at the end of a cat of nine tails?
By today's standards, the left-wing communist liberals, whatever you want to call them, they would call that disruption of a public meeting. They would call that disorderly conduct, an act of terrorism, and who knows what else. But that's our father. Our father got confrontational with the enemy. That's the thing people don't get. You know, and that's why I'm hard on the Republicans, because they sit there, I mean, what's the word for it? They pussyfoot around with these communists. Why do they give in to them? Why? We should never play nice with the enemy. Look what our father did to the money changers. Went in there with a whip and beat the hell out of them.
Amen. Well, you know, here's the thing, and this is where Jews are criminal geniuses. Okay, they didn't come into the country to take it over outright right away. What did they do? They first of all got into the banking so that they could control the money, and they got into the media, whatever it was. Back in colonial days, obviously, it was just printed one-page papers, whatever. But very quickly, and especially in the electronic age, they migrated into leadership positions like with RCA Records and RCA Radio. That was a Jew on top of that. Hollywood's always been Jewish, etc. So what did they do with the control of the media? They programmed us, and then they got into the seminaries pushing this same bull crap. They pushed us into this, well, you have to obey the law. They even changed the name of our police officers to law enforcement. That's a paradigm shift. They wanted to condition you into the idea that if it's a law written by government, you must obey it. When we, the children of the founding fathers and those of us that know the Christ, know that's not true. Just because a bunch of men put it on paper doesn't mean a damn thing. Even William Blackstone, the jurist, the great jurist that wrote his Blackstone commentaries about law, he put it in very plain and simple terms. If any group of people get together and write a law and it doesn't support God's law, it's no law at all. So we got to get back to thinking like the founding fathers. By the way, how many times have we said, Randy, when they come to take your guns, the war has started, okay? If you're sitting on the couch thinking, well, I don't want to get involved, this may happen to other people like Randy up there fighting in Michigan, I'm going to stay. No. This fight's coming to you and your neighborhood and to your house, whether you want it or not. And when they try to confiscate the weapons, the war has already started. Do you understand what I'm telling you? If you are disarmed, you're going to go the way of the Russians 100 years ago when the Bolshevik Jews took over and murdered over 100 million innocent men, women, and children, mostly Christian, okay? The blueprint has already been laid out, folks, and you can't hide anymore. You better become like Randy here, on fire and ready to fight, because the fight's coming for you whether you know it or not. There, and what started our first revolution? An attempt to disarm us. What's going to start the second one? It might start from something else happening, don't get me wrong, but when they come for the weapons, it's on. From that moment on, the war is hot. Would you agree, Randy? Did I lose Randy? Apparently I did. Hold on a minute. What do we got here? Okay, Randy, can you hear me?
Yeah, pretty sure. My cell phone had dropped, but that's what, you know what? They can't stop us. I'll just call back in. They can't stop us.
Oh, okay. Well, like I was saying, that, you know, the war is going to go hot when they try to confiscate the weapons.
Ooh.
Or outlaw them.
What right do they have to tell us what kind of firearms we can or can't have? And like you said, it doesn't matter what they put on paper, brothers and sisters. Remember what the founding fathers wrote. We celebrate it every July 4th, right?
Mm-hmm.
Read it. It's in the Declaration of Independence, and I quote, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right and it is the duty of the people to alter it, to abolish it, and to institute new government. That, my friends, is the words of the founding fathers. They didn't say it. They didn't tell us. Well, let's look. Yahweh confronted the enemies in the temple, beat them to hell. Even our founding fathers, same thing. They didn't tell us to lay down and take it either, did they?
No. No, it's
That's
the lying.
That is our history. That is the history they don't want us to know.
Amen. And the lying
prostitutes. We are a people that will resist tyranny. Doesn't matter if it's 300 years ago or if it's 200 years into the future. They come against our rights. We are to fight them.
Yep. Amen. It's, in fact, our founding father said it's not only our right to do that, it's our duty to do that.
Absolutely.
So,
and brothers and sisters, what choice? Me and Dan, we didn't pick this fight. They chose to come against us. We have to respond.
Well, you're 100% right. And
we're not,
and
the
again,
ones chopping up little babies. Do you really want to turn over your weapons to a people who have no problem chopping up little babies and selling their body parts for money? Think about what they'll do to you if you're unarmed.
Oh, amen. Look what they're doing to the Chinese that are unarmed. There's an area of China where they're laying people on tables and cutting their organs out while they're alive with no anesthetic. That's the kind of people they are, the Bolsheviks. They don't care. And just read Alexander Solzhenitsyn's description of what these Bolshevik Jews did to the Russians and how they tortured them. Or go read a book called The Long Walk, which was written by a Polish cavalry officer during World War II. What they did to him when they thought he was questionable about his loyalties, and what kind of tortures he went through. And actually, he spent time in a gulag that Alexander Solzhenitsyn talks about. And it's a tearjerker. I mean, this is a real story. This isn't fiction. This is his life. He lives in England now. But what he went through during the torture and then the long trip to Siberia, and then he and a handful of others escaped, and they walked all the way to India. That's why it's called the Long Walk. That's a long-ass walk. Go look at your maps on how many thousands of miles it is from Siberia all the way to India. So this man, if it wasn't for his intestinal fortitude and his strength as a cavalry officer and the fact that he was extremely healthy and fit, more than likely he wouldn't have made it. Most of his companions did not make it on that journey. So, you know, Randy, I don't know what it takes to wake people up. I really don't. Sometimes it's befuddling. But there is signs that things are starting to coalesce. Mike, who was our guest with John Mark on Wednesday night, we had a really great program, and John Mark just produced a video where at the 19-minute mark, if you want to go to the YouTube channel and just look for John Mark or go to BitChute and search for John Mark, the show he just put up, go to the 19-minute mark, he makes a reference to this radio show. He makes a reference to the interview between himself, me, and Michael, and talks about the fact that he got a great idea from Michael, and that will be part of the propertarian platform going forward. And, of course, I put links to to John Mark at all the channels that I go to, and their law of reciprocity and propertarianism, which is 100% biblical, 100% in line with what the founding fathers would have agreed with. It's basically an end to parasitism, whether it's government parasitism or individual parasitism. And the greatest parasites that walk amongst us are these people called Talmud thumping Jews. Okay, even Pope, I got a quote here from a Pope, I got a quote from the founding fathers. Everybody understood that the greatest parasites walking amongst anybody are these people called Jews. Would you agree with that, Randy, or not?
Absolutely.
So if we want to fix the problem, we got to take care of the parasites that are sucking the lifeblood out of us.
You see, the problem with these liberal left-wingers is they're never satisfied with reality. I'm going to give everybody a few examples. Remember how many states in our country voted on, we didn't have to vote on the issue, but we did, and we said marriage was one man and one woman. They didn't like the results of that outcome, did they? Because
no.
Majority still at that time still believes marriage is one man and one woman. But see, they didn't like that, did they? So what did they do? They took it to the Supreme Court, where they have a majority of their left-wing buddies. Total disregard of the law, total disregard of we the people, who are supposed to have full control over our country's laws, overturned the will of the people to the way that they wished the outcome would have been at the ballot box. Okay? Doesn't matter what we think about Trump. They didn't like the results of Trump getting elected, did they? So what do? Oh, we're going to impeach him. You see, folks, that's why I will not compromise with these people, because it doesn't matter what we say or what the end result is. They're not going to be satisfied. And they're going to do everything that they can to overturn the will of the people. So I say this, brothers and sisters, they want to take away our guns. They want to turn us into some third world country and just have their way with us. What are we waiting for? Let's just get it over with. Let's get it on.
Amen. Hey, we got a couple other callers. Randy, let me grab them here. If I don't get back to unmute you, just star six me again, all right?
Yeah, praise Yahweh.
Praise Yahweh. All right, John, you're on the air. Can you hear me?
Yes, Yahweh bless you. Yahweh bless all my brothers and sisters out there. I'm listening to what Randy has been saying. Yes, it's true. Who the heck are these people, or who is anybody to tell us what guns we can have and what guns we cannot have? Keep in mind that now, they are. Ever since Donald Trump became president, we have had so many red flag laws in a few states now. California just added 15 more new stringent gun laws and expanded their red flag laws as well. I mean, it's already started to collect guns or grab from guns, and now the police have that power to basically do and take away your gun without due process. And that's very, very frightening.
Right. That's an act of treason. Any police officer that goes along with this, that's an act of treason. They're actually, you know what they are? They're like the colonists, the Tories that supported the Redcoats in early colonial America. We had a group of people, they called them Tories, that were loyal to the crown and actually fought against the colonists and their independence. So they're modern day Tories, these cops that support this unconstitutional move, right?
Well, yes, but how do we know which cops would support that and which cops will not support red flag laws or anything like that? You really can't trust most of them at all.
Well, the day of reckoning's coming. That's all I can say. So I think police officers and military men have a very serious point in history right now. They have to decide on which side of this fence they're going to be on. Are they going to be on the righteous side, or are they going to do the work of the Antichrist? I mean, they have a tough decision. Tough decision. I feel sorry for them, really, because I understand you get jobs, you may have a pension, you may have vacation. I understand that. It's not easy. But then again, did Christ ever say that life was guaranteed to be easy? You're working. Exactly. Hey, I got another caller, John. Let me bring him on, and I'll try to go back and unmute you so you can still be on too, okay?
Okay, well, I'm going to get off the line now. We'll talk about it later.
Yeah, okay. Y'all bless, bud. Thanks. Michael, welcome to the program.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Good, good. So a couple things. I love Randy. Randy's our people. I mean, he makes amazing points. One of the things I would say is a little caveat. Please be careful, because if we keep just mentioning left wing, we're falling into the trap that, oh, well, everybody who's right wing is with us. Wrong. The most stringent supporters of our greatest adversary are the people on Fox News claiming to be right-wing and conservative. So we need to be very, very careful about that we don't fall into this, you know, left-right paradigm stuff. You know, these are just two wings of the same filthy bird. We have to be very, very careful. If we think that all of those, you know, people in Congress that have an R after their name, if we are under the delusion that they have our belief system, we're in big trouble.
When you look at the link, I mean, after all, it was the Republican Party who denied me my right to my delegate position. So yeah, you're right.
Yeah, and I wasn't trying to pick at you, Randy. I know you.
It's good when we have these roundtable talks. And matter of fact, out of three times that I was elected, I was ejected twice. Once by the Midland County Republican Party and once by the Clare County Republican Party of Michigan. The third time most people don't know about. I got in.
So, right, exactly. So, how many times do we hear stories of people who get in, like a Ron Paul, and they actually want to follow the actual Constitution of the United States of America, and they get taken off of committees? I mean, it's not just getting the office and then going, you know, across the Potomac and trying to, you know, make a difference. If they can block you, these people who are all in the pocket, every single one of them has signed that oath of loyalty to Israel. Every single one of them. And the few people who have refused to, their lives have been made a living hell. Cynthia McKinney is not our people. She is not somebody who I would follow into a firefight. But talk about somebody having character on an issue. She said, no, I absolutely will not sign that oath of office. I will not, I'm sorry, that oath of loyalty to Israel. I will not sign that piece of paper because I took a vow to serve the people of the United States of America in my district. So Why would I sign an oath of loyalty to a foreign country? That's treason. So please, I know, Randy, you get it. Dan, I know you get it. But just be very, very careful. If we think that these people in Congress are for us, let me ask you gentlemen a question. If any legislation were to pass restricting our gun ownership, a true measure of whether the people with the R's after their names really, really served us would be if they called for the censure and for the arrest of anyone who did vote for such legislation. Because if you contradict the law of the land, that's treason. How do you take an oath saying that I swear to uphold and defend the Constitution and then go into those hallowed halls and enact a piece of legislation that violates? I mean, you can't. You can't have it both ways.
It's craziness what we got going on, man. That's what they're doing.
Well, it's not just craziness. It's not people, oh, this is weird, you know, what's going on? That's what Fox News tries to portray. And we have to see that. We have to see through that, too. This is not a bunch of people who are just, whoa, they're nuts. These are smart people. They know exactly what they're doing. These aren't nuts. These people know the tyranny that they're bringing in. This isn't an accident. This isn't just some weird course of events that's taking place. They're being controlled. This is a plan, and it's being carried out. This isn't just some haphazard, whoa, how did that happen? Nope. It's a plan, and it's being carried out. And whether it's Fox News or MSNBC, they're all portraying this as some weird battle going on. There's no battle. They're all doing what they're told.
Are they scared that we know that they know?
Well, there's too few of us, so the answer would be no. If they were frightened, like Thomas Jefferson said, if the government was afraid of us, we'd have liberty. But the people are afraid of the government, so we have tyranny.
Absolutely. You know, they were trembling when our father went inside the temple with the whip. He meant business. They weren't happy about that.
No. Well, for two reasons. One, it usurped their authority, and it interfered with their cash flow. So what better way can you piss off Jews than interfere with their dominance of government in the court system or interfere with their dominance in banking? Nothing's changed. 2,000 years later, Christ said, I came as an example. So right there, the churches are wrong because he set an example. He made a whip and he whipped the money changers out of the temple. In other words, these parasites have no business in our worship or in our fellowship as the children of the Most High. And yet the church world,
Dan, I want to interfere with their plan. That's exactly what I'm doing with the schools here in Michigan with the FOIA request. We're going to stop them in their tracks, put them on notice. We're going to interfere with their plan.
Right. Michael, I think you had something.
So I was just going to say the best way to do it is, you know, the Iceland and the Ithaca, New York models. Just don't ask their permission.
Right.
Don't follow their plan. Don't have the mindset that we're all boxed into a corner and there's nothing we can do. We're just under tyranny. No, there is. Very good, simple people. Very, you know, when I say simple, not dumb. I mean just live plain, average, ordinary lives. Got together, had a little town hall meeting, and said, we are not going to use their fake, phony, you know, Federal Reserve Talmudic shekels. We're not going to use them anymore. And they said, okay, we're going to use our own. I mean, how come this absolute just model for how to get rid of tyranny in terms of the money system? Because as I've always said, it's the head of the snake. How do people not say, well, look what Iceland did? Why do we just sit around every day on our duffs and say, oh, well, I guess there's really nothing we can do? Yeah, there is. Have these people arrested. you know, this is the absolute proof. And certainly Donald Trump is better than what Hillary would have been. But why hasn't Donald Trump, when he mentioned trying to end the Fed, when he was going through his whole election process, why hasn't he had a bunch of Marines arrest the board, the 12 presidents of the, you know, I think there's 12, right?
There's 12 regions, yeah. Bank.
Yeah, why hasn't he had the chairman and then the 12 presidents arrested and said, nope, we're not abolishing the Federal Reserve System. We're going to use it, and it is an interest-free credit system, as John Mark talked about last week. Maybe we don't have to get rid of the Fed. Maybe we just have the government create an interest-free credit system for the people. Gee, take the private bankers out of it, take the control of our Congress and our schools and Hollywood and everything out of our system, and then what do you know? Overnight, we have our country back.
Amen. All we have to have is doers and not hearers only. I mean, that's exactly what the scriptures give us the formula for success. When our people get off their ass and decide to be doers, take a stand against the evil. Scripture says you're to resist evil with all your heart, body, mind, and soul. That's in the Proverbs. Okay, resist evil. The church world is spending all their time in the letters of Paul, and again, some people get offended when I say this, but I would rather people take the entire epistles of Paul and rip them out of their Bibles, put a staple in them, and stick them in the back of the book as an appendix, okay? Get your heads out of Paul's writings. And not because they're not true, but because they're often misinterpreted and they are a basis for a lot of this feel-good, soft-headed bullshit that today's church is involved in. It's all wrapped around the misinterpretation of Paul. So take his writings out.
Sorry.
Huh?
Was it Brother Mike on the phone?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, you know, during old Trump's campaign, talking about drain the swamp. I mean, we're all late, right? I mean... Why, you know, the big question is why, you know, I mean, when's the drain really going to begin? And what about the system that has hurt people and put people in prison? I mean, you still have many, many people who have been hurt by this swamp who are still sitting in prison. They need to be released. The crimes of the swamp need to be undone.
Oh, absolutely. Amen. Mike, you said something.
Let's not forget about Edna Lane Brown. If for folks that don't know about them, go search their names. They're sitting in prison. Married couple, elderly couple, because they dare speak out against the Internal Revenue Service. Go search it out. They're still sitting in prison.
Well, yeah, and Congressman George Hansen was attacked for writing a book to harass our people that exposed the criminality of the IRS, and they went after him, and he was a congressman. So anyway, Mike, you were saying something about Paul I didn't catch. Did we lose Mike? Oh, maybe we did. Hold on a minute.
I'm sure.
Randy, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still there.
Okay. Yeah, we lost Mike.
They can't stop us. They ain't going to stop us.
Well, no. We've been guaranteed victory if we just do something. If we step out in faith. But here's the caveat to that. And this is what I try to tell people. The Israelites were invincible as long as they stayed righteous. Okay, you remember the Old Testament story when the armies of Israel went against a powerful foe and they had victory, and all of a sudden they couldn't win a battle, and they found out that they had some idol worshipers amongst their ranks. And when they weeded them out, I think they may have even put them to death, but they weeded them out, then they went back to being invincible. So there's our model is the fact that, you know, we have to stay true to the Father and each other, of course, but true to the Father and his law.
If you ever drive by a cemetery, you see all them headstones. Probably don't know any one of those people. But we all know who our founding fathers. See, Brother Dan, I believe that's where we come in. We don't want to just simply you have somebody drive by our cemetery one day and not even know who we are. We want to be known as the warriors who fought till the end. Just like our founding fathers, just like our father who went into the temple, we want to be remembered as those who just went lay down and take it.
Yep, I agree.
Because, I mean, none of us, for telling people the truth and talking about these things, I mean, we're just average working folks, like our founding fathers who sacrificed everything for not the guarantee of freedom, but for the slim chance of maybe getting freedom. We continue that fight on to this day. We're not guaranteed anything, folks, but we have to fight.
Yep. The only thing that we're guaranteed is where we go when we leave here.
We're all getting off this planet. You know, but the question is, what did we do while we were here?
Yeah. Amen to that. A lot of our ancestors used to talk about that. In fact, there's a good scene in the movie Gladiator where he's talking to the men about the fact that if you in this battle, if you all of a sudden find yourself in a field and it's sunny and it's quiet and peaceful, he said you're probably dead and in Elysia, which is their form of heaven. And then he reminds them that what you do in this life lives on forever as a testimony in the hereafter when you walk amongst your ancestors. So not only in front of your father, our heavenly father, but what will your ancestors, or not ancestors, but your descendants, what will they say about your life and what it stood for when you walked this earth? Were you just a cuck that sat there and let the Bolsheviks take over and murder all the innocent men, women, and children like they did in Russia? Or did you take a stand and fight? Unlike the Russians, who could have fought and won with pitchforks and hatchets and shovels, they still could have beat the Bolsheviks if they had a will to do so. But even better than that, we're actually armed. Many of our people have military training. Many of our people are part of militias, and they're well-armed. We're in a better position to stop these New World Order Bolsheviks than the Russians were.
Do we have Brother Mike back?
No, I don't see. I don't know. Maybe I offended him when I said what I said about Paul. He said something about Paul, and then all of a sudden he's off.
I doubt that.
Oh, okay. But I couldn't catch what he said, so I sent him a quick note here and asked him what happened. But, yeah, again, I don't mean to offend anybody, but so many people in the church world are just completely off the deep end. They're completely off the tracks, and it's because these preachers come out of these cemeteries called seminaries and teaching this complete lie about what Christ actually said and what we're to be doing as followers of Christ in this day and age. I mean, and a lot of it is wrapped around so-called teachings of Paul. So whether you like them or not, huh?
That's why I like having these roundtable discussions, because I mean we all come from different walks of life. We all have different perspectives on, you know, what's going on politically, you know, the political world or religious. I mean, we all have that different perspective, and when we all come together, it really makes for a great conversation. It really does.
Oh yeah, and some of the best feedback I ever get on programs are when they're roundtables with the. Guys like yourself and Michael. What's that?
Right, because, you know, some people are just getting into waking up. Some of us have been around for a long time. I mean, but we all come together, even though we may have some disagreements, no big deal. We still have that common bond of loving our Father Yahweh.
Oh, man. We have two things that bind us, Randy, is love of Father and his righteousness and the fact that we're family, racial family. That's two of the strongest bonds that we could possibly have. And really, that's the two that matter most. Okay? Because you can look at Peter. Peter did not particularly care for Paul. Okay? Some of the other apostles didn't either. And there were church fathers in the early centuries of the what we call the church. It was just the assembly of believers. Many of them would not talk about Paul's writings, okay? They spent their time in the words of Christ himself and the prophets. So you know, this concept that of, and again, who gave us Paul's writings as canon? The Catholic Church. Okay, the Catholic Church got together with a bunch of bishops and cardinals at Nicaea, the Council of Nicaea, and decided what was scriptural and what was canon and what was not. Well, I don't know about you folks, but I haven't seen a hell of a lot of things that I admire come out of the Catholic Church. So, you know, it's That's not right. completely crazy that I'm calling a warning about, you know, what they have done. I just got a note here from Michael. Oh, the call got dropped, and so he's sitting on hold waiting to dial back in. So praise Yahweh for that.
He's got to hit that star six again, and then you can unmute him.
Yeah. Oh, okay. He's back on here. Hold on a second. Let me. Yeah, I'm starting to get used to the darn software now, so we shouldn't have as many hiccups. Michael, can you hear me?
Oh yeah, I'm on.
Oh great.
Sure.
Okay.
You can't run Mike off that easy. Come on.
Well, Randy was just saying how much these roundtable discussions add to the what do you want to call it, the quantity and quality of information for not only ourselves but many of the listeners, and especially for neophytes to the identity message and neophytes to what's going on in the world of politics. It helps edify them. Would you agree with that, Mike?
Yeah, I do agree with it. When people share information too, like Dan, you've forgotten most of this. I mean, teachers say this all the time. The material, when you go over it over and over again, teaching it to others or just talking about it, it just reinforces it for yourself as well. This is how our people used to pass on things about our tribe and our lineage, our history. You know, it wasn't until the public fool system was implemented that, you know, kids would be taken away from their parents by law and sent to, you know, sit in a schoolhouse, whether it's one room or these, you know, universities now. Kids are being taught to hate their country, to forget their history. Real history has been stolen from us. And as many a wise man has said, if a man doesn't know where he came from, he doesn't know where he's going, and a person who doesn't understand their history is like a tree without roots. So, yeah, these talks are very, very important. You know, this just made me think of something. How do we advertise this call? How do we get the word out for people who really want to learn about what's going on in the world? I know people go to John Mark's videos, and I mean, the guy is just brilliant. And, you know, the talks about the Constitution with Kurt Doolittle, I'm really, really looking forward to those. But how do we get more and more people to come to this call, even if they just want to listen?
I want to add to that, Brother Mike. I think if I read something correctly, there's a way to live stream this call through YouTube. Do you guys know anything about that?
I'm not sure if you can live stream through a free conference call, but I think things like Zoom.
Oh, I'm thinking of TalkShoe, I think. That's right.
It could be. I just don't know. It is possible. I never looked into it because, first of all, video, a lot of people don't know this, but video takes a lot of bandwidth. All right. So these people that put video content up on the website, they must have some really fast internet connections because if you don't have Mike, you would know this. It used to be called back in the day when computers were first starting to show up. I think they called them a T1 connection or something like that, something that you make a special arrangement with the IT companies so that you get really, really fast internet connection, because these videos are huge. The files are huge. And if you just have a standard home hookup, it can take hours sometimes for a relatively short video. to upload it.
Remember back in the 90s? I mean, you used to have to pay, like, when AOL, American Online, came on with dial-up, at the very beginning, early time of AOL, you used to have to, like, pay. They had, like, a plan package. It was like you had to pay by the minute. Remember that?
Yeah.
I mean, we've come a long ways with technology, but, yeah, it's still, yeah, video does take a lot of
the biggest problem with that. The biggest problem is that we have what's called shared facilities. In other words, let's say you have cable internet. Well, you've got one piece of fiber that comes into the neighborhood, and then you've got a bigger piece of coax that goes around the whole neighborhood. So it's a ring that's shared by everybody. So it may seem fast at 3 o'clock in the morning when almost nobody in your neighborhood is on the internet, but then when all the kids are awake and everybody's using, you know, they're playing their games over the internet and surfing the internet and buying plastic crap from China, then all of a sudden you're like, oh, this is weird. How come it's slow? Well, because everybody is sharing that same bandwidth. You think when they give you a speed, I mean, I used to think it too, but when they tell you, oh, up to this speed, you know, 100 gigabit, wow, that's fast. You're not getting that when everybody's using it. It's shared.
Yeah, you're right about that. You got to pay attention to marketers and what they say, because they're very deceptive. You're right. They'll say up to, because it's variable. I've learned that the hard way, because I used to have a program that would monitor my connection speed. And like you said, Mike, I would notice at certain times of the day, or if I was doing something or whatever, you could see great big variance.
You still there, Randy?
Oh yeah, I thought I dropped. Hey, I guess we're taking over.
No, yeah, that's what happened before. I lost Dan, yep. And then all of a sudden, the only way I could get back in was to dial in. So I don't know.
Continue
if Dan
on.
Muted himself.
We'll just take over his show. He won't mind.
Yeah, maybe send him an email. Ask him what happened.
But, you know, like, yeah. even with our mobile phones, like, you know, many of the cell phone companies, like, oh, you get unlimited data. Yeah, go read the fine print, right? Anything over, like, 20 gig, they start to slow down. That's in the fine print.
Right, but to continue Dan's point about, and, you know, what you were saying about getting this call out, we don't have to do it on video. There's got to be a way to be in compliance with the terms of service on some of these different channels. And I don't think you necessarily need to have a really great internet connection, because I know people who are running on a shoestring budget, like Mark Collett and the Red Elephants people. I mean, they don't have a huge budget. They're not some, you know, international banking firm or anything. They don't have all kinds of money, and they live stream Q&A sessions on I think they use YouTube, and I forget the program that they use, but hey, it's just something
like
to research.
When I'm doing my podcast, are we all back?
Okay, can everybody hear me now?
Yes.
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yep. Okay, I apologize for that.
They can't stop us, man. Let's continue on.
Oh, I know. I had to restart the program, which is this is the first time that happened, so we must be over the target. And when I do that, I have to stop the recording, restart the recording, and all that stuff. So, again, I apologize. And when I do that, some people might be dropped. Now, apparently, you guys are still logged in. So.
No, we got dropped.
Oh, you did? You had to call back in?
Yeah, well, after you dropped, I thought I dropped, but then me and Brother Mike were talking. We talked maybe for a couple of minutes, and yeah, I dropped my mic call dropped, so the recording ended or something.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah, see, this is, like I said, this is the first time it happened, so I didn't give a warning. But in future, if something like that where I freeze, my only answer to that is to shut off the call and come back in and hope that everybody knows they have to log back on.
are definitely over the target today, brothers. Continue on.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I had asked, I don't know if you guys heard it, I had asked if you guys had heard anything about Field McConnell's report that Barack Obama's been executed at Gitmo, if you'd heard anything about it or know anything about it.
Nah, I haven't heard nothing about that.
No, I haven't heard anything about it. That sounds like a Q thing to me.
Yeah, well, Field McConnell and is tied in with, I believe, the Q. What do you want to call it? I got a name for that.
We got to be careful with stuff like that because I mean, you don't want to claim that, and then like the next day, Obama's on TV talking, and you just end up discrediting yourself like that.
Right. Well, anyway, that's what he put out there. The other thing I wanted, you know, nobody seems to be talking about this, but I wanted to get you guys in this. You know, these people are supposed to be in charge, and they got all this intel, they got all this money, they got all these connections, but how come nobody's talking about California on fire right now? And I didn't hear about it except that I was in a call with people that had relatives that live out there, and said that they're leaving the state because the smoke and ash is so thick. Their houses are not in danger of fire, but the amount of smoke and particulates in the air is so bad that they're getting out of town because they can't breathe. Have you guys heard anything about California being on fire?
You know anything about it?
No, I mean, I've seen the news, and I saw that one article that you sent, Dan, that there were all these explosions that took place at exactly the same time. So is it possible that that happened because there was some kind of a fault or surge in the power grid? Yeah, it's possible. But it's very suspicious. I mean, here's something else. One of the first places that 5G started getting rolled out was in California. And some of the what they call beta testing, it sounds like somebody's changing their oil or something in the background.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know, maybe me.
Oh, you know what? I have got to I forgot I restarted the program, so hold on just a second and let me put us in the question. Okay, that takes care of that problem. Okay, guys, I have to bring you in here again. Okay. Okay, now, see, that's my fault. In the question-answer mode, somebody freshly logging in would be muted, but if I don't, then they're open, and that's where the noise was coming from. So, again, I apologize. Go ahead, Mike.
That's okay. No, that's okay. So, again, when that 5G was first getting rolled out, one of the first things that was tested were these smart meters for gas and electric on the side of homes. Well, whether it was purposeful because they plan on using this as a weapon, or hey, they didn't have this thing tested properly before they tried to put it live in certain areas. Well, there are reports that every single place where some of these spontaneous fires started is because they were 5G meters that were being beta tested and they exploded on the side of homes. Because I don't know if you've seen this, but these weren't just, oh, well, it was dry and there were fires. Nobody knew what the source of these fires were. Nobody knew it. So maybe this is more of the same. I don't know.
Well, the one thing we can be sure of, it's not by accident. Just like the previous fires, when the firemen that were interviewed said, look, I've been a fireman for 15 years, 20 years, whatever, and all I can tell you is these are not forest fires. Whatever the hell's going on here, it's not natural and it's not happening on its own. These are purposely set by some device. What it is, we don't know, but all I can tell you is that it's not what they're telling you. So that much we do know, and same thing with what's going on right now. I mean, it's happening all over California. I mean, it's not in one spot. There's a whole big chunk of California that's up in flames right now. So, you know, I just can't believe that people aren't talking about it more. Of course, we know why the New World Order doesn't want us talking about it, because it proves that there's an agenda being played out here, and the people in California are getting fried. Maybe it's judgment, though, too. I mean, Father can use the heathen to bring about his judgment. Let's face it, California is probably one of the most perverse states in our union, and it's headed up by a Bolshevik Jew governor.
That could be. Any of those options could be. But, you know, the bottom line is, if our people would live in alignment with Father's laws, they would receive protection from this. So there is probably a good bunch of our people who aren't not being touched by any of this. But when you think of what the bigger agenda is, think of Agenda 21. Think of Agenda 2030. The goal is to herd us into these cities like cattle, to get us off of these lands. They look at what they've done to our farmers to get them off the land. They tell them, oh, no, the crops that you're going to produce are going to be subsidized, so you can't lose money, right? So take out all of these loans, mortgage the house, mortgage granny if you have to, because this is a no-lose. This is a win-win for everybody. We want to help these farmers. Well, what happens? They grow the crops that the government says will be subsidized, but somehow, miraculously, these people still can't, these family farms, still can't make enough money to pay these notes and earn a living. And then what happens? The land gets foreclosed on, and some Jew big agribusiness buys it, or the land just stays, you know, vacant, to the point where the price runs down so low that they come in and buy it. Look what happened. I mean, there is a very strong argument that could be made that the national park system, which is not constitutional, by the way, there's none of the powers given to the federal government say that they are allowed to take big pieces of land in the several states that people used to live on and get a living from, and dedicate that as, by the way, what do you find in most of these places? A big plaque somewhere or in multiple places around these national parks that say that these are United Nations sites now. So where did the powers ceded to, abrogated to the federal government under the Constitution, give these criminals in D.C. the power to kick the people off their land that they could use to scrape a living for themselves and cede those lands to this criminal organization, which has been proven over and over again to be a Jew organization, the United Nations? Where was that power granted? I don't see it in my copy of the Constitution. I don't see it. And then again, these so-called organic events, these acts of little G-O-D, these forest fires or hurricanes, or, I mean, look at the end result, whether it's judgment or these directed energy weapons. Why do these absolute horror shows keep happening, whether it's weather or fires, and people just act like, oh, well, no, this is just what's always happened? No, this isn't what's always happened. These events, Matthew 24, right? It says that all of these things are going to become more and more commonplace at the end. It just doesn't seem organic, though. It doesn't seem that all of these things are just taking place coincidentally.
No, it's part of a plan. That's what my take on it is. Randy, do you agree?
Yeah.
Okay, your audio is a little scrambled there, Randy. I don't know if you're away from your phone or what.
I'm feeling a little under the weather.
Oh, okay, bud. Well, hey, if you want to drop off, I mean, you know, don't feel like you're obligated, buddy, if you're not feeling good.
They can't stop me.
You're a true warrior, Randy. I wish we had a couple million of you. The other thing I want to bring up here real quick is there's a lot of stuff I've been seeing over the past couple of days that, and again, these people aren't saying this is a for sure, but there's a lot of suspicion and a lot of strange coincidences, if you will. But we know the New World Order would like to take our attention away from their nefarious deeds, and they've often talked about needing a bigger event Some of these people are postulating that Seattle on November 3rd, specifically the football stadium and the Space Needle, might be part of some sort of a show of force and a diversion and another act of terror to take our people and cause them to fall into the, you know, same thing that happened on 9/11. Their brains shut off and they became...
Like they did in that Batman movie?
Yeah, exactly. So there's a German guy that put out a couple videos where he ties all these little coincidences and little predictive programming things that were done on television, done in comic books, done in advertising, very very similar to a lot of the precursors to 9/11. If you were aware, so since 9/11 we went back and sure enough there were a lot of little hints there. Well, he's done the same thing, only this is pointing to where it could be in Seattle on November 3rd. I was just wondering your guys' take on that.
If they blow up a football stadium, my question is, are they going to ban football stadiums?
What's your question?
If they blow up a football stadium, are they going to ban them?
Well, see, I don't know. The main thing is to get our attention away.
You know, they have some mass shootings, and they always use that as an excuse to ban more firearms.
Oh, yeah.
Sarcastic.
Well, it's certainly, there's enough information that I've seen that everybody should be on their guard. We're not saying it's going to happen, but there's enough information there, and we do know that they're getting desperate for making their final move. They might use this as a ploy to institute martial law and go after the guns, because they certainly have been doing a lot of publicizing about the weapons and the need to take the weapons. So that tells you that this is what the Bolsheviks are planning on doing. So even if it's not Seattle,
even if we declare martial law, where in our Constitution does it say we even have to abide by that?
Well, we don't.
What right does a government have to even temporarily suspend our rights? They don't. They don't have
the
right to do that.
They don't. They don't have any mandate to do it.
They
have no right to do it.
They can declare their martial law. They can declare that we got to turn our guns. It doesn't mean we have to follow it, right?
So, oh, no, of course not. Of course not.
Well, that's the power of Jew sorcery. Oh, it's written on paper and a bunch of criminals said it. Well, so we must have to do it. I mean, how did that happen?
Paper goes in my fire, brothers.
How did that happen at a higher level? How did we get so brainwashed to believe that you could write, we can start roasting children on the White House lawn, so I guess, you know, it's on paper and it's got fancy, you know, White House, you know, header on it, and the president signed it. Well, what does that mean? No unjust law need be obeyed. And what is the definition of an unjust law? If it's not in alignment with Father's laws, if it's not in alignment with natural law, and if it's certainly not in that piece of paper called the Constitution, we don't have to do it. And why are people so afraid? Why are people so afraid? If you stand there and you say, well, where do you get the right to tell me I'm not allowed to collect rainwater on my property? Oh, it's an executive order. Well, I don't care. You're going to tell me I'm not allowed to drink water that falls from the sky? I'm not allowed to collect sunshine from the sun?
Well, brother,
I'm not allowed
you're
to breathe.
Trying to look out for your health, man. Even Socrates said that.
Even Socrates said that. He said it thousands of years ago, that the dream of every tyrant is enacting laws by convincing people it's for their own safety.
And don't let your grass get over 3 inches in some cities. But come after you.
But seriously, folks that are listening to this program, where did you get this idea that you have to do whatever somebody who's proven they're your enemy says you have to do simply because it's written down? Think of that scene in Braveheart where that snot-nosed guy who called himself a lord, that British guy showed up and said to William Wallace's buddy who just got married, "Well, it's written on paper. I get to have your wife sexually the first night of your marriage." What? Why did every able-bodied man in that village not pull those few soldiers off their horses and turn them into mincemeat? What? I guarantee you stuff like that's going to start happening in this country, and people are just going to sit there and say, "Well, I still got my TV. The NFL game is on today, and it's time to worship a bunch of Congoids running around with a piece of pigskin in their hands." That's all they'll care about. Why?
Yep.
How did this happen to us?
Well, we became hedonistic, materialistic. Yeah. They pander to the baser elements of our character, okay? That's why, and again, people can research this and find out that I'm 100% right, but the porn industry was started by Jews. The porn magazines were all owned and edited by Jews. The prostitution, most of that was organized crime, which everybody knows. They call it Italian and Russian mafia. But if you look at the names of the heads of the crime families, they're all Jews, like Al Capone, Al Green, Mayor Lansky, etc., all kikes. All right. So they find out, same thing with booze, same thing with drugs, same thing with cigarettes. Everything that we crave that goes to our baser nature, they're more than happy to provide it. And they also make a very, very handsome profit off of giving it to us. So they win in both ends. We end up financing them in their Talmudism, and we ruin our societies by following after these Talmud thumpers, just like when they changed the name of a baby to a fetus. That was step number one, get away from giving it any kind of identity as a person. And then the next thing is, well, we're going to legalize abortion because we care so much about women. They don't give a damn about the women. They sure as hell don't give a damn about the child. But it was also that we could eliminate non-Jews at their discretion. And once again, they can make money because they always figure out how to make money off of destroying us. So how do they make money? They sell the baby parts to the cosmetic industry, to the food flavoring industries, and to the research centers. And they're making huge, huge amounts of money.
It's always about the money.
It's always about the money.
What does the Bible tell us that money is?
Well, the love of money.
Right, exactly.
Right. It's the lusting after money that's the root of all evil. Money itself, money bought the computer I'm using, money bought internet connection. So money in itself is not evil. It's the love. When you will do virtually anything to obtain money, now you're what that verse is talking about. The love of money, the lusting of money, is the root of all evil. And, you know, our enemy is smart. Because
when those videos got put out about the Center for Medical Progress, that's a prime example of what that lady was talking about as far as, like, the money. She was laughing and joking about the babies being chopped up and actually tried to basically weasel her way into getting a Lamborghini out of the deal. That's the pure sickness of these people.
Right. Exactly.
But that's exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, the Jews, unlike our people, the Jews know that the scriptures correctly identify our people. And when they read that verse, they went, "Wow, they just gave us the solution on how to control Jacob Israel, the true believers, because all we have to do is control money, and we'll control a whole lot of them because they're going to love money, and we can get them to do evil things." Huh?
They give them their food stamps. Yeah, they give them their food stamps, don't they?
Well, again, how do they, you know, here's a case in point. I got a very good friend of mine who's a Navy, just retired from the Navy as a chief petty officer. His whole family is military. He's got a cousin who's a commander. He's got a brother who's a captain. He just retired. But his brother is the perfect example. He made a statement to him one day, I hope they confiscate all the weapons. And my buddy almost fell over because, again, his whole family is Second Amendment, ex-military. So for him to say that, And he looked at him and he said, what the hell are you talking about? How can you support that? Well, I just think it, well, here's why. Because he's getting a very, very nice retirement package. He's got a great deal with his medical care and everything for the rest of his life. He's got virtually no bills left. And he just got a great job as a former captain in the Navy with a civilian company now that wants to add his name to the board of directors. So this guy's got shekels flowing into his pocket from every angle possible. So what he's basically saying is, the people that are putting the shekels in my pocket want to confiscate weapons, so of course I'm for it. That's really what he's saying.
And what did the founding fathers say about those that would give up their liberty for safety and security?
Well, they're not going to get either one. And that's why that book written by this professor, showing that he has now turned around and he's actually giving interviews on conservative talk shows about the fact that the entire left is a facade. It's the Bolsheviks hiding under, we're progressive, we care about people, we care about babies, we care about the environment, when in fact they're the most intolerant and the least caring. So the wake-up is actually happening.
Dan, I hope this doesn't come across as blasphemy here, but the beat cop in our history was always respected as a peace officer. I know you've talked about this before, but to be honest with you, and I mean, I'm as patriotic as the next guy, but why all these special laws for people who are law enforcement officers? If these people are just a guy or a gal like us who just work a job just like us, why all these special laws? Well, if you lay your hand on a law enforcement officer, whoa, wait a second. First of all, you used to be called a peace officer, and you used to walk a beat in a town where you lived, and everybody knew you, but now you're dressed up like a jackbooted, Star Wars, stormtrooper, and you're taught now in the police academy, and we've seen it, that the founding fathers were terrorists. That anybody who talks about the Constitution is a terrorist. Anybody that talks about how they're sovereign and they pay taxes and, you know, law enforcement is an employee that works for us, they're supposed to be a public servant, they're a terrorist. So, I'm sure, like our great friends Jay and then James Lancia from Downtown White Police, I'm sure those kinds of cops who get it and are fine people, I can respect those, and I'm sure there are good law enforcement officers all over the place, but I cannot look at somebody nowadays who's wearing a costume, because isn't that all that it doesn't natural law tell us that just because somebody's wearing a government costume does not give them the right to do anything that any other citizen couldn't do? In other words, if it's theft, but you're wearing a government costume, it's okay. If you're beating somebody over the head with a billy club, but you're wearing a government costume, it's okay. If you are, shaking somebody down on the side of the road for revenue, like your bosses tell you to do at the station every morning, oh, we're low on tickets, you're not meeting your quota. Why is there a quota on the amount of revenue that a police officer, who's supposed to be protecting and serving, why does he have a quota for how much revenue he needs to collect from the sheep? I think we're brainwashed. We're brainwashed into worshiping these people that wear these government costumes, who do things that if anybody else on earth were doing them, it would be a crime. So this is another Fox News thing. I'm sorry, folks, if this runs against the grain, I'm sorry, but that's another thing that Fox News convinces us. Oh, anything law enforcement does is fine, as long as they've got that government costume on and they're getting paid the Jew electronic shekel. No, my measure of my esteem of a person is in direct alignment with how they handle themselves personally. I don't care what kind of costume somebody has on. And the same thing goes for military, Dan. I am the cousin of somebody who's still a commander as a merc, a paid mercenary who's been on retirement, a huge Navy retirement for many, many years. And he's a chaplain. How does this person keep going to Afghanistan doing things that he knows damn well are wrong? He's got more money than he'll ever be able to spend. This guy is one of the cheapest people I've ever met, too. And his wife's a veterinarian. You think they're hurting for anything? But he can't turn it down when someone says, oh, wear our costume and go over there and do unrighteous things to people who have done nothing to us. You know, you go to get on a plane today, and just because somebody works a government job, they get on
take
the plane
first off
before you. Why? This is a Jew plan. Worship people that work for the government. I was just dating a nurse. Oh, do you know there are all these felonies now that if you touch or assault a healthcare worker? Now, there's special felonies for that. So the people that go to poke you with vaccinations and everything, every other poison pill they can create, oh, you touch them, there's a special law that protects them. Why? Because they're an arm of this unjust system that we live in now. So I'm questioning everything now, everything. If anybody wearing a government costume or a uniform of any kind does something that is out of alignment with Father's law, I don't care. I don't care what they're wearing. I don't call somebody officer. I'll call them whatever their first name is. They're not my boss, and I don't have to do anything they say if it's unjust. Nothing.
You know, there's a verse that comes to mind that fits in with what you're talking about, Mike. And it came about when I looked at this. Somebody had written here, once you become fearless, life becomes limitless. And they referenced Matthew 16, verse 25, for whoever desires to save his life will lose it. And whoever will lose his life for my sake will find it. And then another version has it, because whoever has a desire to keep his life safe will have it taken from him. But whoever gives up his life because of me will have it given back to him. That fits in perfectly with what you're talking about. We're not supposed to be fearful. We're supposed to be willing to lose our freedom, our liberty, or our very lives in the sake of righteousness and freedom. Correct?
That is correct. And I'm not saying that if a police officer pulls you over on the side of the road and you refuse to roll down your window, or, hey, let them give you the piece of paper. You go, if they give you a piece of paper because you got a taillight out or they said you were going too fast, go to court and fight it. But this idea that, oh, well, you didn't obey a lawful order from a law enforcement officer. Really? So now I'm your property? Now I'm your slave? Now the only way for me to stay out of trouble with this government is if one of their people in those stormtrooper outfits tells me I have to put my hands behind my back and let them kidnap me? No. No. I'm not doing it. And especially if I've done nothing wrong. Well, if you've done nothing wrong, then what are you afraid of? Because I don't want a bunch of thugs dragging me into a police station where nothing's on camera and they can say I did just about anything. That's why.
Yeah, here's the sad point we've reached in the country, Mike, and it fits in perfectly with what you're talking about. Back when we were a young nation and we had police officers and the government was more honest, we called it arresting. Arresting means they have impeded your liberty and freedom. That's what the definition of arresting is. So as soon as they stop you from going to where you're going, they have, quote, arrested you. They've stopped your free progress. The other thing that they often talked about is when they take you into custody. Well, custody implies that they're going to look after your safety because, quote, you're innocent until proven guilty. However, in the Jewish America with a K that we have today, almost anything can happen to you when you're under their, quote, custody, up to including killing you. Francis Yacker, that wrote Imperium, he died 11 days after they took him into prison, a young man in his 40s. Okay, so he was an author. George Hansen was beaten and tortured. He's a congressman that wrote about the IRS. We know what happened to Edgar Steele, the attorney, when he represented Richard Butler of Aryan Nations and turned against the Jews because he found out that the only reason he lost that case was Jewish interference because it was a slam dunk win. He ended up dying in, quote, custody. You know, and time after time after time, people are mysteriously either being turned into vegetables or committing suicide or dying of other causes while in, quote, custody. So you can no longer say that, that when they take you in that you're going to have your rights protected and your life protected. That's quite untrue today. So there's a real concern over these people in costumes, as you call it, when they claim that they have a right to take you in. You know, look what they did to General Patton in the hospital in France under the Jewish orders of the local rabbi. They poisoned him because General Patton, he should have been able to come home and expose the Zionists for what they were, which is what he threatened to do, and they killed a general. Okay.
Oh, yeah. As soon as he said we fought the wrong enemy, they put their eye on him. They had him followed, and then as he became more and more vocal, they killed him.
Right. So, being taken into custody is basically you have been captured by the enemy forces. You're a POW.
I'm sorry, Dan. I stepped on you. I'm real passionate about this because it dovetails with what you brought up earlier. Isn't this in complete alignment with for the love of money? I mean, the only reason that these people in costumes are doing what they're doing is because they think of the consequences. If I don't do what I'm told to do, I'll lose my paycheck and my pension and my benefits. I'll be a laughingstock. I won't be able to pay my mortgage. I won't be able to pay my light bill, and my wife will leave me. My kids will hate me. I'll have to pay child support. I'll have to pay alimony. And where could I get another paycheck like this and be able to drive like a maniac on the highways, start trouble in all the bars and not get in trouble, just pull out my plastic ID card or you know, wear my costume? I mean, where can the average knucklehead live the life of a king? And, I mean, again, I'm sorry. I'm sure there are very, very good police officers who go into the work because they really want to protect and serve. So this is not a blanket statement. But I would say, people, if you're deciding on a career that you want to get in, would you really want to be a cop right now? Would you want to go to work for this criminal organization that is never going to give you your pension? I mean, all the handwriting is on the wall. You talk to, just go look up on Google how many municipalities and counties and states' pension funds are so underfunded and so mismanaged. That'll be another thing that the Jew laughs about, that they bribed our people to wear these costumes for decades, promising them a cushy retirement someday. And not only did you betray your own kind, your own people, for the love of money, they're not even going to give it to you.
Yeah. Amen.
You know, Brother Mike, you talked about these police officers like they'd pull up a piece of plastic. And that's exactly what that Midland County Sheriff did. It hasn't been quite over a year ago. The videos are on YouTube. But when he got found on the side of the road, slumped over, that's what he did. He told that officer, "Well, don't you know who I am?" He pulled out that badge. You know, he said he's the, I won't say it on air, but he told that officer that he was the GD sheriff, that you can't take him to jail because he's the sheriff. He was drunk off his tail, man. He tried to get out of it because he's an elected chair. He thought he was. He thinks he's above the law. And you know, he's still the elected chair. He refuses to resign, and not one single government agency has tried to come after him for corruption, bribery, or anything.
I'll tell you what the path to waking up to me was. I was in a union at the time, didn't want to be, had to. But I was working in New York City, and we went on strike. And right across the street was police headquarters in downtown Manhattan, right at the base of the Brooklyn Bridge. And wouldn't you know it, when those cops were on strike and they were doing their so-called collective bargaining, they shut down all of Midtown Manhattan. Shut it down. The city was virtually just stopped, came to a screeching halt. But when we went on strike and stood peacefully holding signs in front of that phone company building, 50 guys on horses, 50 police officers on horses came stomping up and down next to us, threatening to crack our heads open if we stepped off the sidewalk into the street. And I just said to myself, what? I mean, the absolute height of hypocrisy. These knuckleheads in costumes hold the people of the city, the county, the state hostage in what people call the capital, you know, the financial capital of the world. When they have a collective bargaining issue, they can commit any lawless act they want. The average working stiff who's just trying to put food on the table for his people, he does it, and damn it if they're not going to crack his head open for it.
It's happened to me, brother. They come after me.
Well, it's just,
but
you know,
I can't hold up to the
point.
Same standard, you know? It's a double standard.
No.
I mean, think about this, brother Mike. They kicked me out of the Republican Party, claimed I was a racist and all these things, but yet you got an elected sheriff, gets found slumped over on the side of the road, drunk off his tail, but he gets to remain the sheriff. I mean, this is absurd, the stuff that we put up with.
Yeah, the double standard is just ridiculous. So, Dan, that's why when we mention, you know, oh, this guy's ex-military, What have been the fruits of our military in the past two and three generations?
It's shameful.
No, it is shameful. And the well-intentioned, you know, kid who goes and gets his crew cut as soon as he's allowed to go, you know, join the Marines or whatever, somebody that's joining so they can get great technical training and get a start on their life. This is not criticism of you. This is being... You know, those are the acts of a patriot, somebody that wants to go and do the right thing. But a lot of these career military people that just, especially when they get to a certain level and they see the inside and they know what's really going on, they see how corrupt this is, that we're the the commander-in-chief of the armed forces of the United States under Bill Clinton, right? Bill Clinton's administration. As soon as they found his semen on that blue dress, he went and bombed the people of Kosovo. What the hell does the President of the United States have to do with Kosovo? People who have been fighting each other over Christianity and Islam for hundreds, if not a thousand years. But as soon as he gets caught lying, he tries to deflect. I mean, I'm tired of it. Who followed that order? What person in our military said, I'm going to go bomb a foreign country that did nothing to us? Oh, well, that's an order. So you murdered a bunch of our kin? Murdered them. Because some criminal told you to?
And they did it without an act of Congress, brother. Violated the Constitution. Nobody ever held them accountable.
Well, but what about the people? These people, meaning the presidents and the senators and the, you know, even the top military people, would be powerless if men of good conscience like us, who were wearing those costumes, would say no. And then if enough of them would, oh, well, they put me in the brig. Yeah, but you didn't commit murder. you weren't defending our country by fulfilling that order. You did the right thing by refusing. I mean, anybody wearing one of these costumes now is absolutely worshipped. You go to a football game. I mean, I won't go now, but you see, like a commercial, they'll show all of these people. 100,000 people at a college game will worship somebody wearing a government costume. Do you know the character of this person wearing this outfit? Do you know what they've done? They fought overseas in these wars. Well, to me, that kind of automatically says you probably did the wrong thing. I don't understand. I want to respect the people who come to the table saying, I want to defend our country. But when you're not allowed to put a single Marine on the border with Mexico, but you have 800 military bases all over the world, I just say to myself, well, how is any of this the right thing to do? I mean, Dan, you know more about this. You know a lot of inside people. What if every single one of these enlisted people just said, I'm not going there. My people are dying here. Where are our defenses? How come on 9/11, the greatest military that's ever existed on the face of the earth couldn't stop the activities of 19 so-called Saudis with box cutters?
Yeah, absolutely. You're right. I look back at, my time in the service and all, and to be quite honest, we had no business in Vietnam. It's sad. Young, and you can't blame the young guys because they don't know. They haven't been presented with the truth. That's our job. The elders are supposed to make sure the young people have the truth. And, of course, with the Bolshevik takeover of the media, the churches, the government, most of our major institutions are run by the actual Bolsheviks. So it's very hard to get the truth to our young men, particularly the men. So it's a sad, sad situation. Bubby wrote in here, General Patton wanted to use the German POWs to help invade and defeat the Russians. And he also says, today evil is considered good and good is considered evil. And we have entered that particular verse quite a lot, everything's upside down. Basically, that's what the Bible's saying. Everything is completely upside down. Our military's not being used for the defense of our country. It's being used to bully other nations, to give the politicians an excuse or a diversion when they need it, or to help a business partner, as General Smedley Butler says in his book, war is a racket. It's a racket. And he admitted his entire Marine Corps career was in the service of United States corporations. And, of course, we know from the writings of other military men such as Don de Grand Pré and Colonel Francis Farrell and others, that these interests, let's say, these business interests that use our military are 99% Jewish. That's the whole reason for the establishment of the intelligence agencies like the OSS, which became the CIA, the FBI, NSA. They're all modeled after the Israelis, and they're all here to keep the Jew safely in charge so that when the people start waking up, they can send their goons out to get us, and then their media will paint us as the problem, and as our intelligence agency and boys and girls in uniform are somehow heroes for taking down the Patriots. They got everything turned upside down.
Well, that's why they created all of these, black ops organizations, because they wanted to be able to get Mossad in and to, interfere with the operations that would have otherwise been lawful and in defense of the peoples of the United States. I mean, look at all the brainwashing that's on these movies now. Absolutely anybody of any race, creed, color, language, anything could be a member of the CIA. Anybody. I mean, wait a second. So, in other words, when you implemented the CIA, the purpose of it was to have any bipedal creature from anywhere on the planet that could come work for the United States government and do its dirty deeds? No, that wasn't the intention. It was to have an intelligence organization that could prevent such international infiltration, to have a spy organization that could see when other countries were trying to infiltrate the U.S. and its systems. And the opposite has happened. When Joseph McCarthy was investigating this, in speaking with people in the FBI, they said, oh, you don't have a tenth of the number of communists identified. It's way more than you think it is. So when Khrushchev made his speech saying that the communists would crush the U.S., they didn't say they were going to drop bombs on them or there were going to be tanks rolling over Main Street USA. They've accomplished exactly what they've wanted. The Bolsheviks have taken over the United States. Think of it that way. When generations of children hate their parents and will only do what a teacher tells them to do, when a convoyed member of the city government can come to your house and seize your children with a bunch of people in costumes because you don't want to give your child a vaccination, do we live in America anymore? We are a captive nation, people.
You know, Mike, it's interesting. Nikita Khrushchev, part of what he said when he was talking and bragging about the Bolshevik takeover of America, he said that they will do it without firing a shot and that the American people will actually fight each other for the privilege of selling us the rope that we'll use to hang them.
Yes.
Isn't that exactly what the average white American's doing? Actually fighting to sell the rope to the communists who are going to take over our country.
Well, look at how many Jews and their cronies, their minions, brag about this. They don't hide it anymore. What about all of these top academics in Ivy League schools? Who, I mean, I forget the guy at Temple University, openly Jew, openly Talmudic, says, oh, I can't wait. When are we allowed to start killing white people? Arizona State University has a class that the state and the federal government subsidize called The Problem with Whiteness. So you have an African studies curriculum where your taxpayer money is being used to teach a bunch of Africans to hate the people, the white people, the founding stock of this country, and to do whatever they can to destroy their systems, their families, interbreed with their daughters. Every single TV commercial now is interracial. Everyone has interracial aspects to it. And, I mean, there's one for Bright House Financial that I saw on a YouTube video where this Greek couple gets to retire because they've trusted Bright House Financial with all of their money, and they get to go back to see where the ancient Greeks, you know, built the Acropolis and all these different things, and their beautiful Greek daughter is married to some convoyed.
Jesus.
So this is what you're proud of? The descendants of the Spartans and the Athenians get to bring some African Mongol grandchild back to the lands of their forefathers? I mean, this is an absolute joke. We're being taught to hate our own people, our own very genetics, our own, every single cell of your body screams that you are not supposed to be interbreeding with these people. Doesn't mean you hate them. You were created, Caucasian people, for a very special purpose. And when you dilute your blood, when you miscegenize your kin, when you adulterate your own genetics, because the commandment, keep me honest, Dan, doesn't say thou shalt not commit infidelity. It says thou shalt not commit adultery. More Jew sorcery or changing the definitions of words. So we have been taught from the cradle that you belong to this system. You're assigned a number, you're our property, and if you do not get injected with everything we say you need to be injected with, vaccinations, all poisons of all kinds, we're taking your kid because they don't belong to you. And if you don't let them learn the things we want your kids to learn, we're taking them from you. And then we're going to convince them to go to a university and get some useless degree that makes them unproductive and helps us destroy your culture and convinces people, again, to miscegenize their kind and forget what their mission here is on earth. Every step of the way, from cradle to grave, the goal is to earn a profit while they destroy us. How do people not see this?
I don't know, but the good news is a lot of people are waking up, and the networking of our people, just as we talked about John Mark and his latest video referring to the interview he did here on By Yahweh's Design. So, you know, we are networking. We are waking folks up. A Caucasian guy here who's over in Holland says that the commercials in Holland have a white woman married to a black guy. That's the new normal. So they're being propagandized the same way that we are. I did find something here interesting real quick while you were talking. That quote I just gave, there's an investigator says that it's attributed to actually three communists originally, Vladimir Lenin or Stalin or Karl Marx. And there's three versions of it, but take a listen to all three of these versions. Tell me they don't fit us. The capitalist will sell us the rope with which we will hang them. The second version is, when it comes time to hang the capitalists, that's us, folks, they will sell us the rope. And the third one is, the last capitalist we hang shall be the one who sold us the rope. That's the one. That's the version of that quote that I wanted our people to understand, especially those in uniform that are doing the work of the Antichrist. The last Anglo-Saxon pretender, traitor to our race, will be hung by the very people that you're supporting right now. They're going to hang you people, all right? You guys in the military and police organizations and you people in the media, you don't understand who you're dealing with. You need to go read Alexander Solzhenitsyn's book, Gulag Archipelago, and all the other writers that have lived through the Red Terror. You people are ignoramuses. You're the very people, and this quote verifies it, you're the very useless eater that they will execute once they have attained power. They're just using you. Why the hell don't you wake up? Go ahead, Randy.
Yeah, you know what? Go ahead, I'm sorry.
I thought Randy was trying to say something. Go ahead, Mike.
No, I was going to say there was a press conference and actually a rally with Donald Trump the other night in Louisiana, where he was really, really pushing and campaigning for some of these what looked to be really great candidates for office, Republican candidates. I think they had some kind of special elections yesterday, so I don't know what happened, to be honest. I want to take a look. But so when you look on who was behind the stage, you know, the people who hold up all the signs, the hand-picked people who were put back there, do you know how many white people I saw? Yeah, a few. Mostly Hispanics and Asians and blacks. And I was like, this just goes to show that what John Mark and you and I and a lot of our awake people are talking about is civic nationalism is not going to work. Because even the people, if they were all the perfect Dinesh D'Souza type, you know, foreign-born, you know, not our kind, not our people, but if we could just teach them enough about the Constitution, maybe they'll see things our way. But the numbers indicate that that's just not true. It's just not true. The Jew tried to put on his Fox News station that, see, Republicans are black too. Republicans are Asian too. Yeah, well, there may be some outliers. But the statistics, the numbers show that on more than a 2-to-1 basis, no matter the age, non-white peoples vote left. So this is more of the vibrato, the charade, the stage show that oh no, these are just two different political philosophies. Let's see who wins out. No. They know that with all of this legal and illegal immigration, that left-leaning people who know that there has been hell on earth with all of these communist and ultra-socialist governments, they know it. They know what happened in China. They know the utter corruption in India, where the descendants of the Aryans who built that incredible Punjabi race and civilization have a bunch of hybrid brown people who can't feed themselves now with utter corruption. Whereas John Marx said, the measure of a man in such a civilization is how sly and tricky they can be to get over on people. That's what you want living in our country. And that's what you think, oh, if we could just teach them the Constitution, they'll love it. What a pipe dream. What an absolute fairy tale. What a fable that they believe. It's not going to happen. We need our own place with our own government and our own laws. That's the only thing that is going to preserve our people.
Which is pretty much what the book of Revelation talks about. John told us in Revelation that at some point it's the merchants that are going to be weeping and wailing and government officials when the people turn their backs on them. The merchants are weeping and wailing because we told them to take their cheap Chinese junk and shove it up their rectum. We don't want your bullshit no more. We're going to learn how to be minimalists and make our own stuff. And the government, the same thing as John Mark and Kurt Doolittle and the proprietarianism and libertarians, we need to turn our back on illegal government because they have no authority. They have broken the contract. We need to turn our back on them and reestablish local government under our control that works for us instead of against us. So Revelation supports the fact that at some point, our people are going to wake up and do exactly what you're talking about, Mike.
Mm-hmm. Look at what most people would say is probably the greatest city in the world, right? I think it's a hellhole. I worked there for, you know, the better part of 2 decades. Look at New York City. What's keeping that place propped up?
The rest of the country.
Well, yeah, and Wall Street, which really is, when you think about it, stealing money from people. I mean, how anyone could possibly believe that the measure of how well the economy is doing on Main Street USA can be directly tied to what a bunch of billionaires on Wall Street are making? How anybody could be convinced this, you know, watching the ticker on Fox News, oh, everything's great because a bunch of thieves are making money by selling pieces of paper. Who thinks this? How have we been convinced of this? That the prices of everything that matters, food, energy, transportation, everything is going through the roof. It's become almost impossible for someone, even on a middle-class salary, a single middle-class salary, to support a family. It's impossible. But because Wall Street is breaking records, that means the economy's doing so well? And what planet do we live on? What world do we live in?
Yeah, that was one of my eye openers about this current president we've got is when he's constantly bragging about creating the best economy we've ever had. It's like, what are you basing that on? Stock market? Stock market's rigged. Everybody knows that. Anybody that knows anything knows the stock market's rigged. Those numbers are meaningless.
Dan, I got in trouble. I got thrown out of an MBA class, literally asked to go outside and take a breath because I got angry when we were talking about unemployment. I said, hey, if unemployment numbers are the measure of how well the people are doing, there was zero unemployment on the plantation.
Oh, there's Mike, how dare you?
There's zero unemployment in the gulag.
Mm-hmm.
So you tell me how someone having a soul-crushing position of flipping burgers or answering telephones is employment. And it's a measure of an economy doing well. We live in a prison. We're free-range chickens. We live in a giant open-air prison where our owners, people who think they're our owners, try to make us believe that we're free while they steal everything from us and have people in costumes terrorize us. And because something's written down on paper, we have to do it. No, this is coming to an end. And that's why I brought up the scenario of New York City. How is New York City has, I think that the number now is a little over 2 out of every 5 people works for the government of at some level. How is that sustainable when more than 2 out of every 5 citizens of the city of New York, one of the 5 boroughs, works for the government in some capacity? Isn't that just robbing from Peter to pay Paul? If you work for the government and the government gives you your paycheck from the stolen tax money of other people in the area, so you pay your taxes and what? What are you getting? Just recirculated Talmudic shekels. That's the model that they want for the whole world. You come to work, you get our electronic feces, and you do whatever the heck we tell you, because if you don't, you don't get to be in the club anymore. If Wall Street, with what little tax they pay, wasn't propping that place up, New York City would be exactly the description that you quoted from Revelation. It's going to be a place up in flames. That's what it is, literally going to be that. Because anybody who has any kind of resources is going to flee. And what are we going to be left with? That hybrid brown people, just like you have in all the cities in India right now, who relied upon a corrupt government to give them their living, you're not going to have it. Dan, the city of Los Angeles does not have a rat control program. If you were to name a city on the planet that, oh, man, they should probably have it would either be New York City or Los Angeles. Oh, yeah, those two places are the standard on how to control rats. Los Angeles doesn't have one. The plague is coming there. Judgment is literally, scientists are saying right now they do not understand why the plague has not completely broken out in Los Angeles and San Francisco.
Maybe they're waiting for the Jews to poison the wells like they did in Europe.
Well, are you going to tell me that all of these brilliant people at all of these, now Talmudic Ivy League universities don't know? Oh, maybe if you have a population like that you should, be able to control rats and other vermin. Nope.
Yeah.
That's not on purpose. Oh, we just forgot.
It reminds me of the verse that says, I will use the unlearned to confound the wise. In modern terms, that's basically saying, men and women without a, quote, college degree or doctorate or any of that, I will use them to be confounded. So it reminds me, I'm reading a book called The Case for a Creator by Lee Strobel. Let me just read a little section right here. It says, during his academic careers, Lee Strobel became convinced that God was outmoded, a belief that colored his ensuing career as an award-winning journalist for the Chicago Tribune. Science had made the idea of a creator irrelevant, or so Strobel thought. But today, science is pointing in a different direction. In recent years, a diverse and impressive body of research has increasingly supported the conclusion that the universe was intelligently designed. And here's the part of his book that I just can't get out of my mind. He's quoting some of the biggest names, cosmologists, physicists, all these people in academia and their so-called theories of how the universe came into. You know what the first thought in my brain is as I'm reading this book? These guys sound like a bunch of kindergarten students, where a teacher says, Johnny, what do you suppose created everything? And they go, well, I think that we have multiple universes traveling at god-awful speeds in all directions, and it just sort of came into being. Oh, we're going to call that some theory of relativity or whatever, and we're going to put your name, PhD, doctorate, blah, 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 some prestigious university after it, and we're going to make that the new norm. That's exactly the thought you have as you're reading this book. It's like, where do we come off elevating these people as if they know what the hell they're talking about? A lot of this stuff, by their own admission, is just ramblings of a moron, just like Einstein. The guy's an idiot. Okay, so they ramble some meaningless bullshit, and we attach theory to it and say that they're credentialed, and therefore we should believe it. I mean, it's ludicrous. And the same thing that you're talking about here, these people in costumes, and because they work in government, we worship them as if they're some kind of god. It's ridiculous.
And you know a guy that I would really like to learn more about? Because the more I find out about him, the more I see that he got it. So C.S. Lewis, who academia puts forward as somebody who just wrote kids' fairy tales like Narnia, well, all of that stuff was religious symbolism. He calls the characters in his books the sons of Adam and the daughters of Eve. All of this was symbolism. If he were to promote his public commentary in anything but a novel, they would have never printed it. So they hide social commentary. Brilliant authors like himself and his best friend, J.R.R. Tolkien, author of The Lord of the Rings, this wasn't pagan stuff. This was Christianity and commentary on society hidden in novels. Well, the reason I bring this up, a book that you never hear about. Well, C.S. Lewis wrote a book called The Magician's Twin. It was his criticism of science, scientism, which he calls a religion, and society. So what he shows is exactly what you said, that this Jew system, even though he doesn't call it that, based on the worship of experts, they can put anybody with any kind of ridiculous theory, I'll say in quotations, up on stage with a lab coat on, which is just another form of a costume, give them a title and a PhD, and we'll believe it. Because we developed over the ages in a very high-trust society with our own kind. So because we're good-natured people, we look at these so-called experts and say, well, they wouldn't lie to us, right? Because we're trusting. Some would say naive or childlike. But C.S. Lewis goes on and on about how so-called science is nothing more than the alchemist, the magician, pretending to know what he's talking about, and he can't prove any of it. But it's absolute heresy for us to refuse to believe him because he's an expert.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I've told this story, so I'll make it a truncated version of it, but I saw exactly what you're talking about in Tampa when I went to a PTA meeting with my family to watch my niece in a play that was part of the PTA meeting. So when her play was done, this female Jewish lawyer got up to tell us about how important it was that we vote for helmet laws in Florida. And she recounts the story of Billy or Bobby or whatever in the neighborhood was riding very, very fast and lost control of his bike and hit his head into a telephone pole. And now he's brain dead or he's damaged or whatever. She elaborates on this bullshit story. And I told my family when we were sitting there, I said, first of all, it's a complete lie. And I said, second of all, you're supposed to, first of all, she's a woman, and she's a Jew, and she's a lawyer. So you're supposed to just be completely mesmerized by her. Well, the family did the research, and like 2 months later, they called me and said, sure enough, they found out that there was no accident like that anywhere in Florida in that area. There was no kid by that name in the neighborhood anywhere. So typical of the Jew, you're supposed to be mesmerized by their credentials and their concern over humanity while they're lying through their ass, because it's what they want you. It's because of what they want you to do. Okay, so you're supposed to go out and buy these helmets, strap them on your kid's head, because the Jews own the companies that'll make them. So they're going to make a big profit, and they're going to laugh all the way to the synagogue because of all the white people running out and putting these idiotic helmets on their kids, thinking it's somehow that's going to make them safer.
You know how many millions of gallons of hand sanitizer are sold every year to schools in America? It's millions of gallons. This school teacher that I told you that I had been dating, brilliant woman. I mean, she's our people. She's very, very beautiful, very, very smart. But then she believes this nonsense that every time a child touches anything, they have to use hand sanitizer. And I said, and I showed her this article where all of these kids in this one school district were getting sick because they were using a certain kind of hand sanitizer that it looked like liquid candy. It wasn't clear. It had a color to it. So these kids were licking their hands and they were getting sick. So I said, let me ask you a question. Did you not know that your skin was the biggest organ on your body and that you're absorbing this stuff? Your skin isn't some shield that prevents any, it's not an impermeable barrier to the world. You absorb more poison in a hot shower if your water's not filtered than you do drinking 8 glasses of water that it's unfiltered. And she looked at me like I was nuts. And I said, look at this article. And she couldn't even look at it. She said, no. I have a paradigm set in my mind that this hand sanitizer is good. And I'm like, when did we ever have it? Did we have it growing up? Did we have this poison hand sanitizer that kills everything on your skin? But no. And did we have all these vaccinations? No. So all of this crap that these experts are pushing on us have not produced the end result. And what does the book say, Dan? You will know them by their fruits.
Yeah.
What are the effects on our people of all of these causes that these experts have inflicted upon us? No good thing is coming from this stuff. No good thing. So kids are not allowed to touch each other out in the playground. You're not allowed to play tag anymore, and you're not allowed to get dirty. What?
Well, it's interesting you say that, Mike, because I believe the father had a lot to do with the experiences in my life, because they provide a glaring contradiction to what they're trying to tell us. I grew up on a farm. We didn't believe in vaccination. We didn't believe in going to the doctor. The doctors actually made house calls to the countryside where I grew up. Same thing with piano teachers and others. They made house calls. You didn't drive anywhere. So I grew up in this farm environment, with none of the protections that they say we absolutely have. We used to pick up cow patties, we called them, which is where the cows poop in the pasture. When it dries, it becomes hard, and we used to call them cow patties. We'd pick them up and throw them in the creek and watch them float down the creek and throw stones at them. So here, something you would think is detestable and completely covered with germs and going to be harmful, we used to handle those things all the time. I remember going up to the big block of salt where the cows would come over and lick it to get their salt to keep them healthy, and I would lick the salt block right after the cows got done licking it, because with that sandpaper tongue they've got, there was nothing dirty on it, nothing whatever. I'd go over and I'd lick it just for the hell of it. Okay, we used to drink out of the garden hose. Okay, we used to go down and drink out of the creek and swim in the creek and do all kinds of things down there. All these things that they're telling everybody don't do, and of course we used to fight with each other all the time. We boys would play baseball or football in the backyards. More than once we'd get into a tussle and be down on the dirt punching each other or kicking each other, whatever. And then we'd get up laughing and go off as best buddies again afterwards. So everything they're trying to tell you that's negative, don't do it, blah, 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 I grew up in the middle of that. And, Mike, you've met me. I don't think I'm in that bad of shape. I don't certainly have any signs of deterioration as they warn and threaten and all this stuff. Because, like you said, our bodies and our immune system are the greatest protection against all these things, and that's the last thing that they talk about.
Well, it's a process that the Father created, Dan. Exactly. By the way, you got shoulders like the side of a barn. I mean, you know, you don't look like a guy your age at all. But, you know, a process that scientists now say is called hormesis. Well, if you have a little bit of an insult in the body, every cell in the body adapts to it and becomes stronger. What's the analogy you and I always use? Doing some push-ups, riding your bike, lifting some heavy weight. In the gym, when you lift heavy weight, you are actually tearing and hurting the muscle. So that what? When your body notices this source of inflammation, it sends repairing mechanisms to it and beefs it up, makes it stronger. So this is the way our bodies were made. Same thing goes with our mind. If you challenge your mind, they tell older people, do these certain puzzles to keep your brain more acute. Read. You know, don't text. Have actual conversations with people so that you have to exercise the use of your vocabulary. Don't be limited to 140 characters. You think that's a coincidence now that our people are doing most of their communicating on the Snapchat and Instagram and Twitter, where you have a handful of words that you're allowed to use, and you can only use that amount, and you should abbreviate them, therefore, losing your language and your ability to communicate. I mean, it's like the movie Idiocracy, where someone goes into the future and sees how our people have become so much less than they were in terms of intellect, their physical condition, the food they eat, the amount of trash just in the streets that's acceptable, the amount of prostitution, the congoid hold in the office of president. It's just, Dan, we have become much far less than what we were. But we can get this back. It's sad, I admit it, when you say it sometimes, that maybe there is a culling of the population going on, where there will be, just like in the days of Noah, that's another thing Matthew says, right? The book of Matthew says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the end time. Well, a lot of our people didn't make it then. So maybe the Father is saying, hey, this word, this living word, will be disseminated for a certain period of time. And whoever I call to hear it, if you respond to it and do the right thing by me, your creator, and your people, well, then maybe you're fit to survive. If not, if you continue to follow the Jew Talmudist and do the things he says, well, then that's idolatry, and you got to go.
Well, it reminds me of the verses about the wheat and the tares. And, you know, back on the farm, we used to have the saying when we milked the cows and you'd carry the containers of the stainless steel containers down to the spring house because we didn't have refrigeration. We used spring water to cool the milk. Sometimes my aunt would send us out with a small, like a gravy dish and a ladle. And she'd say, bring me some of the cream, because cream rises to the top. And sure enough, you'd knock off the top of the milk can, and you could take the ladle and just skim right across the top of the milk, and you'd get this rich cream. It's sort of an analogy of what's happening right now. The white race, there's not a whole lot left that's worth saving. The cream rises to the top, and Father's going to ladle off the cream through the end times prophecies that we just talked about, and the rest of them are going to get dumped because it's not fit for going on. And, you know, it is sad. It's sad because it's so easy to fix. It's so easy to repent and become a righteous person. It's not that hard. But people are just lazy. They're completely hedonistic. They've completely bought into the grand delusion of the satanic forces. And they don't care about being cream because they bought the big lie that we're here by accident. It's all meaningless. And when it's all over, you're just going to be a pile of dirt. Okay? They actually bought into that lie. And it's really, really sad because life could have so much more meaning if you embrace the fact that you're a child of the living God and we're here for a purpose. But they don't care. It frees them up from having to have any kind of guilt feelings. It frees them up for believing that there's anybody watching over their actions. They think if I don't have somebody seeing me steal the neighbor's property or kick the neighbor's dog, that somehow I won't be held accountable for that. See, they don't want to believe that there is somebody observing every single thing they do of every day. There's a big difference in the way you behave if you know there's an all-knowing and seeing Father watching you versus, well, if no person sees me do it, then I'm okay. Big, big difference.
Right.
And our country was founded by people that believed that we're being watched. And they weren't perfect men. None of us are perfect, okay? Am I going to be embarrassed when the replay of my life is played in front of the Father on Judgment Day? Hell yeah! There's going to be times I'm going to shut it off, please. But I also know that I'm going to be there to see it, and yeah, it'll be embarrassing, and yeah, I'm going to have to give an accounting for some things, but at least I'm there. You other people, where the hell are you going to be? I'd rather be there
right.
and be judged by the King of Kings in his court than to be outside the court. What the hell do you think it's going to be like there, folks? Whether you believe in a hell or not or eternal damnation, all I can tell you for sure is it's a whole lot better in his court than it is outside of his court. Okay? You can take that to the bank.
And for all the people who don't believe in a creator or a hereafter, and I don't understand how you could not believe in a creator. I mean, even Ben Stein, the Jew, when he's interviewing that Peter Hutchins, that creationist, he got Hutchins to admit that, yes, there is intelligent design. It's impossible for everything to be created from nothing. Well, what caused the explosion that you say took place? If there was nothing, what was there to explode? You need matter to create an explosion. You need energy to create an explosion. How could something explode if there was nothing? So even the most vile and steadfast creationist, I'm sorry, Darwinist said, Oh yeah, I'm an atheist, but there must have been some kind of intelligent design. So, but even those people, don't you care about what happens to your own progeny? Don't you care about what happens to your own kids and grandkids and great-grandkids? Why would you create a hell on earth by hedonism, simple individualistic pleasure seeking? Why would you do that? Are you that much of a sociopath that you don't care about what happens to people of your family that have your name that come after you? You don't care? And then what's even sadder is this bunch of our people who run around, they literally neuter themselves so that they can't have any children, and then they just run around having sex with everything on two legs and maybe even four, you know, on the planet, because they think that's their purpose for being here, to have as much good tingly feelings as they can have before they leave this place. I don't understand it. If any one of our ancestors believed this, we wouldn't have been here today.
Yep. That's the truth is not really hard to find. It's just the people wanting and desiring the truth. It's like we've said on many talk shows and in many comments of blogs. When is the truth going to matter to the white race? That's what I want to know. I don't blame these other people because the Jew has come in and basically given them a green light to invade our lands, and the white people don't have enough sense to throw the Jews out. But, you know, when is the truth going to matter? I mean, that's really the key to everything. When the truth matters, you start digging and going down the rabbit holes, finding out what's going on, and you take all their propaganda and you throw it right in the trash can where it belongs. Mm-hmm. Okay? And so that's my big question. When the hell is the truth going to matter? So...
And the measure of whether the truth matters is if you do something with it, right?
Oh, yeah, you know, absolutely. Absolutely.
A friend of mine calls these people who hear the patriotic movement and hear the truth of the Bible and don't do anything with it, he calls them hobbyists. They like to be tingled with these little morsels of truth that nobody else has, so that they can think of themselves as an intellectual, or they can think of themselves as better or smarter and not part of the great unwashed. But then they'll just get up tomorrow and go to work and continue to do for the next pay week exactly what they've done before, change nothing in their life, nothing. They'll eat the same, think the same, speak the same, hang out with the same people who are not our kind, watch the same football games, eat the same unclean foods. They'll just continue to their same behavior, and then they'll listen to this call again or other patriots like John Mark, but they won't change anything. So isn't that the parable of the mustard seed, where the Father says, I'll scatter these seeds, and sometimes they'll land on good ground and bear good fruit, but other times they'll sprout up, people will hear the message, but it's not going to bear any fruit because they're not going to change anything. Those are the lukewarm people who are actually more a part of the problem, because they know the truth and are too damn afraid or too lazy to do anything about it.
Amen. Well, there's another verse that's talking about that particular subject when it says that faith without works is dead. And people just don't even grasp the meaning of that. I mean, there's one verse right there that could turn everything around in the white race, especially those that claim to be believers. Faith without works, okay? So they go to this church, listen to that prostitute behind the pulpit telling them, don't worry about it, the law has been nailed to the cross, and works, you can't get into heaven by works. Well, yeah, works alone don't get you a damn thing, of course, but to think that you have faith in the Father and you have no works to show that you have that faith, you don't have any faith. Like you said, you're a hobbyist. You go down to the church as a hobby because you think it makes you look good. You get the hobnob, have a little bit of that pussy pig meat for lunch and some other stuff with high fructose corn syrup in it and all kinds of dyes and a little bit of human DNA in the food coloring and food flavoring. Okay, so you're saying that you think that you're close to God because you're going through the motions. like you said, they're just hobbyists. When the book says, if you believe in me, you're going to have works. You can't believe in me and not have works that show it. You can't have
it. Well, damn, they get to put on their LinkedIn page and their Facebook page that they go to the local Baptist church.
Right. Yep.
And then they walk around town. They walk around town wanting to be part of the group by wearing the jersey of some Congoid that runs around on some basketball court or football field or baseball field. You know, I mean, seriously, would our ancestors not laugh at us? I wouldn't wear it if it was free. But you pay, I mean, top dollar to pull one of these NFL's officially licensed jerseys with the name of some African who says they hate you.
Yeah, they hate your country and they hate you.
Over your morbidly obese body.
Oh, Lordy.
That's the measure of a man today. Getting as fat as you could possibly get so that you can't even get out of a seat. But as long as you've got your Carolina Panthers jersey on with Cam Newton's name on it, you must be a man because he has a Superman tattoo. I can't take it anymore. Our people would laugh at us.
Yeah, well, we've sunk quite a ways, but then again, Father told us it would get this bad. I had no idea that it'd affect that many people, though. So literally, the cream rising to the top is a perfect analogy because even the scripture says, my flock is a tiny flock, and it most certainly is because most of these people are completely brain dead, and they like being brain dead.
Well, they would rather be brain dead and be part of something. They really would. Instead of doing what their creator, their actual real father, who made you look like him for a special purpose, who put you here on this earth because you're supposed to be carrying out his will, he looks down on you wearing that stupid jersey and shakes his head probably. I'm not trying to put words in his mouth, but just say, you know, if you want to be part of something, why don't you just be part of our tribe? I told you who you were and what you're supposed to be doing. Isn't that enough of a work? Why do you believe in all these fairy tales and fables? Why do you believe in nonsense when real things that you could be doing to make your life count, you ignore them? That's the irony, right? The real reason for your existence, people think, is a fairy tale. But paying an absolutely ludicrous amount of money to go worship some person who says he hates you and your people.
Yeah.
That's how much you want to belong to something?
It's, it's sad. It really is sad. Well, we're over the 2.5 hour marker. Believe it or not, Mike, it just flies by when we get chatting. But I know our listeners are probably anxious to get on with their day. But I know also that there's a lot of things that are worth talking about too. So, but I just wanted to remind you that's where we're at in case you were getting tired or whatever.
No, it's a rainy day here. I'm going to enjoy it, rest up, and read the good book. But I wanted to say something else. The reference that you made to John Mark's video at that 19-minute mark, as I said to you, not looking for credit, not looking for anything, but the listeners of this program to see that this system of beliefs that we have here is becoming more and more mainstream. One of the most brilliant young men of our time, who in the near future could be considered one of the founding fathers of what the new nation is going to be for our people, came on this program that this man, Daniel, has committed his his life and his treasure and his reputation to putting on the air twice a week for 20 years. Someone with a mind like that came on this program and said, wow, I'm glad you guys are thinking and saying these things. This is great. So this program is bearing fruit, folks. Why don't you push your chips in the middle of the table, and instead of spending the money that you spend on your cable television or buying that jersey or going, and Daniel never does this, we're not begging for money, we're just saying if you want to be part of something, if you don't want to be a hobbyist, you don't have to run out in the street and scream your head off or shoot people. No, we don't want you to do that. The way that a good work like this gets done is contribute and support those who are sticking their neck out. That's all you have to do. There's a contribution button right on the, and Daniel never in 20 years has he's never begged for, we're not begging for money. If the Spirit moves you and you want to donate and help this work continue, there's a way for you to do it. A dollar. If all the listeners of this program gave a dollar a week, that would be a big benefit to the man who's producing this work. So, Daniel, just putting it out there, in my opinion, if you disagree with it, say so, but this is how a people support each other.
No, amen. I can't argue with that. I've believed that philosophy all my life. I can't tell you how many thousands of dollars I've donated to different people and or bought their books or bought their tapes or their videos, whatever, for the same reason you're saying. I believe they were doing a good work, and I believed it was my job to support that work. And then when I got to be on the air myself, of course, I didn't donate as much as I used to because I had my own radio show to pay for. And back when I was on Live 365, that was approximately $400 a month radio station. So, you know, but you're right. And again, we're not begging anybody for anything. And I said a long time ago, one of the reasons why I don't ask for supporters or donations is I don't want to feel that I'm obligated to anybody. I wanted to be as free to say what I believe to be true the whole time. And so that relieved me of that burden. I was going to pay for it myself, and most of the time I do pay for it myself. A handful of folks are helping out, and bless their hearts. I pray Yahweh bless them all the time. But you're right, and it doesn't have to be this ministry. It could be any work that lifts our people up, educates them, motivates them, enlightens them, gets their health back. Anything that helps in those ways would be honored by the Father. So it doesn't even have to be here. But what Mike's saying is you can be part of the solution in many different ways. You don't have to have a sign and a bullhorn and go down to the next LGBTQ or whatever the hell they call themselves out here. That's maybe not your calling. Some of us are called for the confrontation, like Randy from Michigan. He's a fighter. He's a bulldog. He's been that way for decades. And other people are researchers. Other people write great articles. Other people are good speakers. But the point of it is we all can do something, and when we come together in a joint effort, it will bear fruit. And I think it's phenomenal that somebody of the caliber of John Mark was referring to this radio show. And to you, kudos to you, Mike. It was your idea that he went off and is incorporating and going to take up to Kurt Doolittle to possibly promote that idea about a constitutional convention as we go forward. So, again, it's all this networking and people with righteousness behind them. When we share with one another, we become a team, and the team effort will succeed. I honestly believe that. So kudos to you as well, Mike.
No, I appreciate that. That wasn't – obviously it wasn't an original idea. Our forefathers did that, but, you know, it just came to my mind. But, and again, I hope nobody thinks that, you know, if we suggest donating to different organizations, this certainly does not apply to – you know, widows and orphans and people who are, you know, of indigent status right now. I'm certainly not saying or trying to guilt people into contributing to anything, you know, like the pastors in these, let's just say these poison churches will pass around this dish and make you, right in front of your neighbors, try to embarrass you if you don't put something in. You don't have it, you don't have it. There are other ways to support this organization with your prayers, your emails, your letters. Tell other people about the program. So we're not looking for the widow's mite here. We want people to support the organization in any way they can.
Amen. Amen to that. All right, Mike, I'll tell you what. I'm going to shut her down for today, give you a break, and let you go enjoy your day. I think the folks got a lot of good information from you guys today. There's a lot going on, so we'll continue to network with each other and try to keep our brothers and sisters informed and updated as much as we can. But have a blessed day, and keep up the great work, buddy. And same to you, Randy.
Too, sir. God bless.
God bless. All right, ladies and gentlemen, and again, thanks for tuning in and for being part of what we're trying to accomplish here. There is good things happening. I know we see nothing but negative every day, but below that raging storm, the waters below that are much more calm, and there's great works happening. So don't get caught up in the waves at the top that the antichrists are constantly beating with winds to keep you afraid and disorganized and fearful, because that's power to them when you remain afraid. So don't do it. Stay strong. Stay in the Father. Remember, this is all about Him. This is not about the Antichrist. This is about our Father in heaven. It always has been. It always will be. And your safety lies in Him. Psalm 91. This would be a good day for everybody. Pick up a Bible and go read Psalm 91 again, the soldier's psalm. It's very, very important. Dear Heavenly Father Yahweh, we give you the praise, glory, and honor that you and you alone deserve. We thank you for this opportunity to share. We thank you for the brave men and women out there that do the work. We ask a special blessing today on Michael and for Randy, because two of your upfront in the trenches warriors that are making a mark out there and doing wonderful things. And for all the rest of them out there that I don't even know the names of some of them. Be with your children. Watch over us. We pray Psalm 91 today. We also pray the soldiers' ransom blessing upon all of those who are in the front trenches, especially the violence and the confrontations that are going on, that we watch over our brothers and sisters out there. Keep them safe. Give us all discernment. Give us all the spirit of courage. And give us a stiff backbone. Help us to stop being jellyfish in this world. If the righteous stand firm, the wicked flee. You said so in the scriptures, and it's true. The righteous stand firm, it's the wicked that flee. And may that day be very, very soon. May your coming be very, very soon. And may the restoration of all things and the great jubilee that was promised come about soon. This poor earth could sure use a break. And we ask all this in Yahweh's precious name. Hallelujah.